Select meeting order. Ed, want to lead us?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Eric Anderson.
Here.
April Bingo.
Here.
Kathy Buckley.
Here.
Leonard King.
Here.
Richard Levine.
Here.
Ed Marin.
Here.
Debbie Hasnell.
Here.
Colleen Stone.
Here.
Steve Tremblay.
Here.
Andrew Perrier.
Okay, item C, approval of the agenda. I have an addition under the appointments. We have an I resolve that the superintendent of schools recommends to the board that a probationary period for Ellen Hall be extended with a complete end date to be determined when the employee returns to work.
That was under I?
I, under the appointments, number two.
Page six.
And the name of the person was?
Ellen Hall.
Isaac.
It's page three.
Three.
Page three.
That's what I thought we were on.
It's under appointments, page three.
It only goes to H?
At the bottom of H.
Oh, we're adding it?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. I'm looking for it, I can't find it. Motion with the agenda change.
Motion by Red, second by Kathy. All in favor? Against? Ayes have it. Okay, we have a public comment. Anybody for public comment? Yes, Mr. Cole.
Hey, you know where else I think, happy holidays to everyone in the room, to the board. Merry Christmas and good luck in 2015.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Okay, report. Superintendent.
Thank you. I think Mr. Lambert needs to look at my computer. The font keeps shrinking on me. I don't know why. It's my pleasure this evening to formally introduce to the board and our attendees the district's newest building administrator, Elaine Dixon. Ms. Dixon has several years teaching experience in 712 social studies and has also served as a K-12 principal. And most recently, she has been the assistant principal in CVS in the special education division. And while Elaine does not officially begin her new assignment until December 17th, as I've informed the board, she has been quite actively involved in her daily activities in the middle school, both with regular communications with the assistant principal attending a meeting very recently, and as recent as last evening, she was able to join the middle school concert and enjoy the festivities of the evening. So at this time, I'd like to formally introduce to the board and to our community, Ms. Elaine Dixon.
Thank you for that nice introduction, Mr. Amo, and I'm looking forward to working with all of you. And I just had a nice welcome from the administrative unit. They made me cookies. It was a nice welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. I packaged this sequence of events here to give you the bad news next after wonderful good news in my first comments. Unfortunately, our consortium learned late last Friday that we were not successful in that grant application that I've been talking about. It was pretty disappointing, actually. There were only two districts in the entire state of New York that received the grants, and one of them was New York City. So you might recall that I'd said we were in competition for the rural schools, which means there were no rural schools in New York that got the grant. No consortiums, no rural districts at all. And the large city district was New York City and another Long Island-related school district. I'll leave my comments out at that point. We are going to review the scoring of the grant, though, to determine how close we came or not, and revise it and chase a bunch of smaller grants. The idea being if we can package together the same goals with two or three or four or five grants that we will be successful with, then we'll get close to what we wanted to do with this big one anyway. But bad news, we were not named in there. The West Shays East site, Mark Berry, of course representing the board, has reported visitation activity by several prospective buyers of the facility, with multiple visitations by one party in particular. And the district is going to provide access to the property condition data that we have about the facility as a means of responding to that party's continued interest in here. So things are moving apparently in a very positive direction with the potential solution to sale, if you will, of that property. My next title is Concerts and More Concerts. Middle school winter concert was held last evening, as I've already mentioned, and the students performed to an almost full house. Beautiful selections too, very tough selections for those 6th or 8th graders. I was really impressed with the sounds and their voices. The Beekmantown Elementary concert will be tomorrow night at 7 p.m. The high school concert is on the 17th of December at 7 p.m. And also at 7 p.m. will be the Cumberland Hit concert on the 19th. So to get yourself in that right holiday spirit, it's a guaranteed pick-me-up if you're able to attend any one of those events. Reminder, we have an early release day for our K-12 schools tomorrow. We have staff development activities been planned in all of the buildings, different dimensions in each of the buildings, but most of them connected to APPR-related support structure pieces. Practices, or you know, promoting instructional practices in ELA and math that conform to the standards. And we'll also have, at least at one building, I think it's Cumberland Hay, we're going to have a DASA presentation for that full faculty with the idea of bringing the DASA presentation back in our January presentations so we can get around the entire district. We couldn't manage it all on the same day, but we are able to get that information presented at one faculty, and that'll take place tomorrow. And a few more items. Just a reminder again, the first meeting of the steering, I'm calling it a steering committee, for the feasibility study of a K-235 restructuring of elementary schools. We're going to hold that meeting tomorrow. It's really intended to be, Thursday. I did say that, Thursday. It's going to be basically a strategy meeting. There isn't anything major to do as much as decide how do we want to go about, who do we want to involve, what are the critical guiding questions that we want to be prepared to do the research on. And that, by the way, for the community's reminding for the community, that's one of the board goals for this year, is to actually begin looking at that prospect. Would not take effect next year. There's too much planning and too much work to be done. It would be anything to come out of it would be for the subsequent school year. January board meeting, a reminder or an invitation, if you will, for the board to know that the next meeting, which is a regular scheduled meeting, is January 8th, but we're going to hold that meeting with the gracious host of being Cumberland Head Elementary School. So if your calendar, if you can make a notation, January 8th, Cumberland Head. And finally, from my point of view for this evening, I thank you on behalf of everyone who had a chance to enjoy the treats made available this evening. We need to thank Joanne Menard and Leanne Short, who both did the cooking. Thanks much.
They could help with the eating.
Any questions? Okay. Mary?
On tonight's agenda, we have received notification that the Title I and the Title II grant, which the grant period began on September 1st, but we only allow wages to be expended against the grant until we receive formal approval from the state. We've gotten those notifications, so the detailed budget, which is something you haven't seen in the past, you've only seen the grant and the total dollar amount, but our internal auditors have recommended that the board should see the entire budgets. So that is in the agenda for board acceptance and approval. Additionally, we have some large budget transfers for the board to consider and to hopefully approve. I will note that all of those budget transfers are to align the budget to take care of the negatives that we have. And actually, if we recall and go back to last May and June, and I had asked the board to put some money in certain accounts, such as workers' comp reserve, we're using those monies now. So it's excess expenditures that we have already in this year's budget, that we had some money that we put into the reserve in May and June. Now we've got to take back out to pay some bills that we have coming up. Additionally, during a budget year, when somebody gives us notification of their retirement and we have accumulated sick buyout, which is by contractual agreement that we either make contribution to their TSA or some contracts we actually pay them a lump sum in their wages. We don't budget for those. We use the employee benefit reserve. That's the one where our liability is approximately $3 million, and our reserve is approximately $1.6, $1.7 million. So we're taking money out of that reserve to pay for these known retirements that have been announced that we have the obligation to pay. We also have on an annual basis, each of the buildings goes through and cleans up old, outdated textbooks that are no longer used. They're out of date. We sell back to companies those that are still saleable. Those that are not, we actually donate through our waste management vendor, Casella, and they recycle them through third world countries so that they're not shredded and they don't end up in the landfill. So we've gone through that. We actually have 26 boxes in our office ready to be sent out. Just a reminder that I still have a request out there for board consideration for equipment or software expenditures that we need. Also on the agenda is tax certiorari. We've received notifications actually back in August and September of three taxpayers that have actually filed suit on those. So we're just moving the money for those potential refunds into the tax reserve account. I did do, as a result of the last budget meeting, some board members had requested that I try to do a rough forecast, budget forecast of a five-year analysis. I have done that. If there's time at the end of the meeting under additional items, we can come back and revisit that, and I can tell you what it looks like. We had mentioned that rather than going through the entire nine pages of all the detailed budget line items, that I would just pick out a few of the big ones. So I picked out wages, I picked out retirement, I picked out health insurance, and I didn't really look at anything else and just took those numbers, threw them out there with some assumptions on state aid and some assumptions on tax levy, looking at our pilot payments and what's scheduled to expire and go out. So it's a pretty good estimate, but it's not line item detail. It's just the big numbers. What does that look like over 5 years? So at the end of the meeting, if we still have available time, I can get into a little bit of that detail.
That's awesome.
I also wanted to point out one of the big budget transfers we asked for last year in May and June was substitute money for substitute teachers. It was a little over $100,000 that we had requested. So far this year, we've analyzed September, October, November, 3 months of the year out of a 10-month school year. We're approximately 30% out, and our budget is actually 30% spent. So it looks like we're tracking pretty good right now. I don't know what the absences behavior will be come spring or the preschool end year. And I've also made contact with NYSER, which is the New York State Schools Insurance Reciprocal Group. That's our insurance carrier, and asked if one of their risk analysts would be available to come up to speak to the board and answer any questions you have about school district overall activities, exposure, risk, liabilities, et cetera, so that rather than all of us reading it and interpreting it, and we're not insurance specialists, let's just get our representative here. And he said he was happy to do it, so he'll be at the January meeting. That's it.
We have some cookies.
Thank you, Mary.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yes.
You mentioned there was an outstanding item for software expenditure for the board's approval.
Or no, I had asked last time when we received the Senator Little $50,000 grant that the board give some consideration to us putting money into technology and equipment codes, because those are restricted codes that we don't have other sources. It has to come in from new sources of revenue in order to increase those codes.
Got it.
So if I buy a piece of equipment, I've got to get the software to go on that too. Do you know what I'm, and Gary's already accounted for the budget monies he had available in those codes. So to the extent we get any new equipment, we also have the licenses we have to buy and the operating systems to go with it.
Okay, and so you want the board to consider whether or not we should maybe put
right
some or all of that into that particular line item budget?
Yes.
Okay.
Just good. So that if we get a computer, we need to have Microsoft Office, you know?
Right, yeah.
No, depending upon where the computer is going to be deployed to, but that was the concept, just to cover my bases so I don't surprise you later with another request.
Okay.
Just to the board's future thought, the operations committee met, we've discussed things, I guess, going forward, whether or not we should start putting it into the budget, things like this, you know, for ongoing equipment, or whether or not we're going to do it the way we do it, and it's going to be an ongoing thing, because it seems like we always have the same problem. We always have something that comes up, and if it's something that's always we always needed, it probably should be in the budget somewhere, you know, for upkeep things and stuff like that. So it's going to be a discussion on top of that. You know, where do we want to put it, and how are we going to do it every year and just have it in there so we always have it, or are we going to do it every year and go and say, okay, I got to give you money every year? So it's something we're going to have to talk about as a board.
Anybody questions for Mary? Okay, Mr. Currier is sick tonight, so on to committee reports.
You want me to go first?
Go right ahead.
All right. Well, the policy committee met on December 5th. We covered quite a few things. It was a very lengthy meeting, but we had to cap it off at one point. I'll just call a quick attention to it. We will be asking to amend the charging school meals and the regulations associated with that. That was brought up by Roxanne. I don't know if that was in discussion with the cafeteria committee or the audit committee, but we had some issues where we had, some students would have, extremely negative bills, and how do we, making it all work out at the end makes it pretty tough. So we're recommending some changes to that. We had a very good discussion on the public use of school facilities, not to recommend any changes, at least initially, but just to talk about, specifically, it was mostly about with the Booster Club, how we handle, do we have to charge them insurance? Because under the contingency budget, we all understood we had to do a lot of these different things. They had to have insurance. They had to have, we had to charge them for custodial fees. So we're trying to get answers to those questions to figure out what we can't do, what we can't do, and then ultimately what the board may decide to do. Because legally, we may be stuck.
I just want to clarify that the insurance issue is actually not something that was limited just to the contingency budget.
Nor the custodial expenditures.
And Right. So that's a big part of the reason for this presentation that we'll have in January, and I think that's very enlightening. I think it's something we need to hear all at the same time. I'm glad that you did that.
Well, and that just is about how the district manages its insurance liability and risk exposure, separate from formal and informal groups that are not part of the UPK 12 district curriculum, right. The curriculum district, but these outside groups that have outside activities, whether they reimburse for custodial charges or their own insurance expenses, we are not allowed to use taxpayer dollars to pay for formal or informal groups outside of the district. And I know they don't think they're outside of the district, but they are outside of our K-12 mandated curriculum school enrollment. And I can't.
No.
I'm not an expert.
And so that's where
we're
trying to get all these answers so that we can present it and get everybody on the same page. Because, I'll use the Booster Club as an example. They raised an awful lot of money for this school to help, but they are still considered an outside group. So it's figuring out how can we balance those two, and then legally, as Mary, there's issues where even if we want to do certain things certain ways, legally we can't. So trying to get answers to those questions so that we're all kind of on the same page. And then the other two things, we only had a few minutes to discuss it, but we'll continue it, is we are working on changing the athletic code of conduct to be extracurricular code of conduct, so that it's not just athletes, but it would include other extracurricular activities. I know the board started this the previous year, and Mr. Amo was very nice to take the first stab at it and really did a lot of good work on it, and now we're just kind of trying to work through it. So this will be an ongoing process and something that we're going to take a heavier look at it in January because we didn't have enough time. And then the final thing was that it was brought to our attention that Malone School District has a policy that allows for community members to ask questions of the board, and then they do that before a board meeting and then get answers during a board meeting. I know Plattsburgh, I've seen in the news, is trying to work on ideas, and so we're going to be putting together some ideas for maybe something we can do, and considering the fact that, if somebody comes up with a question, it's hard for us to answer them on the spot. And then there's other concerns about, and if we do answer it, is it me? Let's say I answer it. Is it me answering it, or is it the board answering it? So trying to get some of those things resolved so that we can maybe get some better, some good two-way communication, but without, doing things that could become, potentially a problem. Because if I'm answering and they're like, Eric said it, I was like, yeah, that was Eric. That wasn't the entire board that said that. So So anyway, we're going to work on some of those ideas and see what we can craft, and then we, of course, bring it to the board, and you know, we can start having some discussions and see where it goes.
Good idea.
So that's what I want to bring up.
That's all for policy.
That's all for policy. Yeah. I mean, we had other things, but I want to touch the highlights. So.
Anybody else? Anybody? Ed?
All right, so the audit committee, I'll do a segue here on the policy side with the extracurricular activities. So we're addressing what we might want to do to improve policy. In the meantime, what are we doing to enforce the policy as is? In the last board meeting, look at the last minutes, we talked about having a list of all the extracurricular. I'll pull it out.
Yeah, Kathy Buckley. Yeah.
Right, Kathy mentioned it. Yep. We talked about getting a list of all the extracurricular activities. Getting information. Well, oh, this is my, yeah.
No, that one's my. I highlighted it because I was going to ask.
Right. Yeah. So as part of the audit committee, we talked about the liability in that the policy in and of itself is not being enforced, and it has not been enforced. We've asked for it to be enforced the last couple of years. We need to get a list of the activities, who's running them, who the officers are, because they're supposed to be, the whole point of participating for students is to become involved in the leadership role and to become officers, have them do minutes, and also a status on their paperwork, the insurance, all the legal stuff that needs to be done. So we need to have that. We don't have that. And regardless of what we do going forward, the policy is what it is, and it needs to be abided by. So, questions on the floor is, when do we get the documentation? Mr. A.
As soon as I get reminded that it was due this week. And I've been reminded, so I'll have it for you next time.
All right, so that's part of that. We have stipends for the staff to support this with students, and they should be the ones really responsible to make sure that this is all being done. Now, in the past, I have participated in a meeting where I heard a comment that went along the lines of, well, we haven't done it before, why should we do it now? Okay, and to me it's like, well, I've been driving around for years without a driver's license, why should I get one now? That doesn't really work. So just because we haven't been as diligent to enforce it, that doesn't mean we should. All right. The next one was, and this was a little important. We've talked about this quite a bit in the past. There seems to be a lack of clarity with coaches from the district side that we're not paying for non-league and non-divisional athletic events. And I know that the board has made that clear. I know Mr. Amo made that clear even last year. But through some of the paperwork that's coming through the business office, that's not clear. And there's certainly, I know that some of them are being covered by the Boosters Club, but I don't think there is, I don't know if maybe Mary wants to jump in, there isn't a clarity of a budget. What is being participated in, and where's the money coming from? Because what if the Booster Club doesn't have the money to support it, or they run out of money? So I asked, the committee asked that we send another email out to all the coaches reminding them of this and everybody so that we know. What we don't want is another incident where we get bills again and we have to come back to them and say, oh, sorry, we don't have money. And they say, well, what do you mean you don't have money? No, that's unnecessary. I would like to get a copy of the first document that went out to the coaches as a reference. And what was sent out to the coaches, when was it sent, so that we can cover all our district liability that they weren't informed. Any questions or comments on that? Yes.
I have one question. Why are we getting bills that should go to the Booster Club anyway? Well, that should be in black and white. These bills, if it's Booster Club related, shouldn't come to us.
Good question, Mary.
Because why is she doing work for the Booster Club?
She's not.
No, but I'm saying no, but she has to go through it.
But when an outside entity sees that they need to get paid, the first people they come to is to the business office.
We need to separate that.
Actually, we're the last person that people come to. It comes to us when it's time to pay the bill.
Right, that's what
so
I mean.
Decisions have already been made about what's going to happen, when it's going to happen. It's on a schedule. That's public information. All the calendars are posted on the website. So if anybody's curious or has any information, just go and see what we have out there. I think where the breakdown of communication comes in is we have a lot of coaches. I don't know that there is a formal document distribution. I think what might happen is that there's meetings, that they actually have meetings, and it's verbal. So sometimes you remember some. I don't know. I'm guessing. I don't participate in that. It's just that the business office is usually the last one to find out at the point when somebody wants to be paid for some service or good that was legitimately delivered to the district. Then there becomes a question with, and what has happened in the past is the Booster Club has bailed us out and has said, okay, you know, we'll cover it. Well, they also have budget concerns and budget issues, and
right,
they can't
sure.
continue to be the last person to know either. So we're all in the same boat. It's just it's pre-planning. For years, we've had budgets that have had capacity to absorb extra contests and extra events. Unfortunately, we don't have that capacity. And so we need to change our behaviors, and we just haven't caught up with that.
I can wait.
I already went one, so.
Yeah, Debbie, go ahead.
I guess I'm a little unclear as to what the procedure is for setting up these outside of league play. What's the procedure for setting these types of things up ensure that
a vetting process.
That's a good
know, but. I mean, you're talking about detailed management items, and that really doesn't matter. I mean, to the board, you just need to know that we
right.
as a district are following proper purchasing policy. Our claims audit log, your delegation to the claims auditor to review that, has clearly indicated that we have repeatedly offended that purchasing policy. So that's where the concern needs to be, not in trying to manage
right.
what are we doing and how are we doing it. That's
I understand, that. I guess I'm just saying, you know, we're getting hit for charges that it doesn't appear somebody authorized. So I'm trying to understand how that happens.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe we need a vehicle, but.
I think we're all going to have similar comments anyway. It seems to me that if somebody wants to put on a non-league or non-divisional athletic competition, I don't know if it's a policy that we're missing or a procedure that we're missing that says you have to get approval from so-and-so. Whether that's Mr. Amo, whoever that is. I don't know if it falls under your purview or not, but wherever that is, so that it's...
Can I let him have
Quick response, multiple inputs. There is a protocol that is followed in determining which events will be budget supported. And if it's not in that protocol that it is, the presumption is it is not. The communication is held in regular opening of school year meetings as well as subsequent meetings through the year to remind through the presentation to the coaches that phenomenon. The responsibility, obviously, for following the protocol is ultimately mine to measure was it followed. And when it isn't, we take internal appropriate responses to it. But there is a protocol
mm-hmm.
where we would not be expecting to have audit reports continually citing that particular deficit.
So if it's based on open communication, maybe the protocol needs to start including some written information that says
part of the revised protocol that was saying yes. Yes.
Okay.
And then yes. I have one other just really quick comment. I really like the thing on the extracurricular activities. I think it's really good. I mean, not only is it good for us to know that this work's being done, but it's the whole purpose of the kids doing this
yeah.
for the leadership. So great.
My question is budgetary. Say somebody goes to Rutland to a wrestling match or something and it's not been vetted through the superintendent. We still pay for it if we get the bill?
Well, we should know well in advance that there is a plan to go if the schedule can be changed because it is changeable. That is our first effort. Secondly, is to go within the department's that particular department's budget line and say where is there going to be transfers out of things that you already have approved to cover this moment.
I guess what I'm asking is It's a new policy taking us away from the liability of paying for bills that haven't been properly vetted. So say it slipped through the system, and they sent, so the book, it says $2,000.
Yeah, we have none.
There's no new policy.
We have significantly reduced, I want to say reduced because we haven't opened the mail yet for tomorrow, but we have significantly reduced the likelihood that there is an outstanding anything that has to be resolved.
Well, the concern is not even that, is a priority schedule in that there are events scheduled already, preparation going on, other teams and other districts going, great, we're participating in this, only to find out that there isn't any money ready for it. So that's what we'd like to prevent.
Yep, and if it means Mary and I going activity by activity, studying each schedule, making a determination which ones can't be approved, as we did with one sport very recently to resolve that one sport's
right.
planning, if you will. That's what we'll do. I was hopeful we wouldn't have to go to that extent, but if that's what we need to do, we'll do that.
Can it be as easy as just emailing the coaches? Okay, just a reminder, this is the budget position. Please coordinate
we
to
can.
Make sure.
We can do that. That's a low-level intervention, and it should be effective enough, but obviously it isn't, because there is ultimately an approval of, okay, here's your schedule, it's been approved. Then everyone drops it, runs off, does all the planning, and then when the event is approaching or the money is due, it's like, oh, where's the line item to pay for that?
Yeah.
So we want to get on that's why I brought up the idea of the protocol. We have a protocol to avoid all that. It's putting it firmly in place and examining it regularly so that we don't find ourselves in this spot.
Okay.
Yeah,
For what we discussed in our audit committee meeting, it's not events that we know that are coming up. It's events that we've already participated in.
It's both, Kathy.
Yeah, it's both.
It's both.
It's both. Is it both? Mm-hmm. Okay. Because I thought we were talking about one specific.
It's multiple events.
We resolved... From the report's point of view, we resolved any, I think, all historical question marks. Mm-hmm. It's the planning for the work. Mr. Marin brought up a great point. Can we assure ourselves that any of the future or ongoing planned ones don't fall in that same category? Hence my description of the protocol and perhaps my more direct involvement. Mm-hmm.
One last one.
What I don't understand is the vetting. I mean, when we say to somebody there's no money for equipment, nobody else puts any more requests for equipment. What's different this way? I mean, what's different than that? It's money. You either have it or you don't. Why is it an issue? I mean, there should be something in place. If they're going to spend money, they better have the money. And it has to go through the principals, the building heads, whatever. I mean, how does someone cause us to spend money when they're not supposed to? That's what I don't understand. I just don't understand.
Well, the response, obviously, is there's supervisors for every department that make the final decision on what gets approved or not. In the case of our questions at hand, we have questions about what has been approved without the financial backing to support it. That's why I went through all this explanation of, I guess I'll intervene quicker and have that front-end approval process.
All right.
Anything else on audit? Jesse, okay. Debbie, Nancy, Eric, April, Richard?
Nope.
Colleen? Okay, we're on to item 4, minutes. Resolved that the Board of Education does hereby approve the minutes of the meeting the Board of Education held on Richard and April. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. Resolved that the Board of Education does hereby accept the minutes of the committee meeting held on 12/6 and
12/5.
Motion by Debbie. Second by Eric. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Have it. New business. CSE, CPSE. Resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education approval of CSE recommendations dated 12/11/12.
Motion.
Motion by April.
Second.
Second by Kathy.
Question. Yeah, a couple of quick questions. I noticed on one of the individuals I don't know if it was a new individual or just an amended individual, but it was at the parents' request. Is that part of that, those meetings, the parent request, and then you guys come together and see, is that request acceptable or not?
Yes.
Okay. And then the other thing that I was wondering is, because I noticed a lot of reevaluations and stuff like that, is there any way we can get, as a board, a summary of you know, how many kids we have and what the different level of efforts, you know, whether it's, you know, some kids are only once a week, some kids are 5 days a week, some kids are full day, some kids are only 60. Is there any way to get some sort of level so that we have an idea of?
You would get 1 day a week. You could get level of their school day, percentage of time in special ed versus percentage of time in general ed.
Yes.
Or you could get a classification list, like what children had what classification. Is that what you?
So
like an LD versus a child with multiple disabilities.
Yeah, because I mean, you may have, you know, for example, you could give me a number that we have I think it was before you talked 385, 395, something like that. But that doesn't tell us, you know, is it.
Percentage.
You know, is it 300 of them are low needs and 95 are very high needs? You know, what is that sort of breakdown so that we have?
I can give you percentage of time in special ed. I couldn't really say needs because they're
okay,
all
okay. I think percentage of time in special ed is good.
Okay.
That would be good. And it doesn't have to be, you know, it could just be a rough, kind of rough guideline, whether that's, you know, 20%, 30%, 10%, 80%, whatever it is that you think is a good breakdown.
Any other questions?
Thank you, William.
All in favor?
Aye.
Ayes have it. Item D, resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education the approval of the CPSE recommendations motion. Dated 12/11. Cassie?
You motion.
Oh, Brett motion. Okay. Cassie second. All in favor?
Aye.
Yes. Ayes have it. Personnel, resignation. Resolved that the superintendent
motion.
Of schools.
Second.
Or do we have to
let me get it read through. Yeah. I don't have to on the big ones, but resolved the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education to accept the resignation of Kevin Gregory as a modified wrestling coach for the 2012-13 school year. Eric?
Debbie
seconded.
Aye.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. Appointment. Resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends the Board of Education to appoint the following civil service probationary appointments as indicated.
Move the list.
Richard, move the list.
Second.
By Debbie. All in favor?
Aye.
Yes. Ayes have it. Item B. Resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends the Board of Education the following permanent civil service appointments as indicated.
Move the list.
Richard moved the list.
Second.
Seconded by Eric. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. Item C, resolved that superintendent of schools recommends the Board of Education approve the following substitute appointments beginning on date indicated.
Move the list.
Richard? Eric?
That's fine.
I'll second.
Richard seconded.
Too many redheads.
All in favor?
Aye.
Again? Ayes have it. Item D, resolved superintendent of schools recommends the Board of Education approve the following temporary on-call appointments beginning on dates indicated.
Move the list.
I'll second.
April and seconded by Eric. All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. Resolved that superintendent of schools recommends the Board of Education to appoint the following fitness center community supervisor.
Move the list.
Second.
Eric. Richard. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it.
Are these different from the ones that the volunteer ones that we
there
appointed
additional
before?
Additional ones.
Yes. Okay.
Item F, resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends the Board of Education to appoint substitute athletic event coordinators for the 2012-13 school year on an as-needed basis as indicated.
Move the list.
Richard?
Second.
Seconded by Debbie. All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. Item G, resolve the superintendent of schools recommends the Board of Education approve the following fall athletic appointments for 2012-13 season.
Motion.
Motion by Kathy.
Second.
Seconded by Eric. All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it.
Didn't we just accept his resignation?
Yes.
That's what I said.
That's why he wanted the whole thing read.
Yeah.
He's volunteering.
He's volunteering. Item H, resolve the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education to extend the probationary period of Sally Sample, teacher aide, student aide, from 12/19/12 to 1/25/13 due to abbreviated evaluation period.
Motion.
Motion by Eric.
Second.
Seconded by Kathy. All in favor?
Aye.
Ayes have it. This is the added on one. Resolve that the superintendent of schools recommends the Board of Education that the probationary period of Ellen Hall be extended with a complete end date to be determined when the employee returns to work.
Motion.
Motion by Debbie. Second. Seconded by Eric. All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. Item 3, retirement. Resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends the Board of Education accept the following intent to retire on the date indicated.
Motion.
Motion by Eric.
Second.
Seconded by Kathy. All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. 6, miscellaneous. Resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends the Board of Education to approve the side letter of understanding between the Beatontown Teachers Association, NYSA, AFT, NEA, AFL-CIO, and the Beatontown School District, dated 12/4/12, and authorized the superintendent of schools to execute said side letter of understanding on behalf of the district. Motion by Richard.
Second.
Second by Eric. Any questions?
Anybody who was on that list, my God.
You want to recap this just for general knowledge?
The side letter itself? Required through audit reports that side letters of agreement, even if they do not involve any compensation increases, need to be brought through to the board because of its relationship to the Taylor Law. The practice, back to your earlier comment, practice of maybe previous years notwithstanding, you'll see them.
And this was in relation to the crisis counselor. That's why we had that.
Yeah, the actual. It is the crisis counselor. There's language in our bargaining agreement relative to compensation and associated money issues, if you will, for counselors. But because this particular position isn't performing the role that is traditionally defined, it's a standalone. This side letter says everyone's held harmless. We're not going to follow the language that's in the contract. There's no additional monies here. This connected to the agreement, but the side letter attests to that. That's the purpose of the side letter.
Just a side question to the side note. Why do we want going forward? I guess, is there a requirement in New York State to have all counselors be certified? I mean, is there a concern to have all counselors not be certified in that capacity, in that role with students?
I don't know the B part of that, but there are certification requirements in New York State for counseling.
Right, I understand.
I don't know if this. Not sure I understand the second part of your question.
I guess why would we have a counselor that's not certified?
We don't have any certified.
I know that.
Do we have any that aren't certified?
No, we don't.
My question is
that has to be in the side letter? He's talking about. The district has created a new position of crisis counselor requiring New York State certification as a school counselor and.
I think I can throw something in here if you want. It isn't a regular, we didn't fill a counselor position and this has taken its place, and isn't it because it's got more to do with special ed too?
Well, when I designed and we created our own 811 programs, part of that, that went with that piece, is a crisis counselor for those rooms.
Right.
When children have need a timeout need and all that.
Uh-huh.
So what we did is, with the savings that we saved from sending our children to CVS for doing that,
right,
that piece purchased this person who provides group therapy, project adventure in the room, individual counseling, and also deals with a lot of the crisis pieces.
Plus, we're not paying for another counselor.
Correct. We didn't have, we did not have enough internal staff to meet the need when we designed these two programs, and that is why we did it.
I think it basically, the sentence is embedding in there the understanding that it's a certified person,
okay,
as opposed to a caution or worry.
Yeah,
that,
that, that was my...
But different from the old one.
Just a reminder embedded in, okay, the
Because
the
I knew that, I knew when we did this
it
last
is a certified
time, it was a certified person. It was a That's question of, did it open us up to having some issue of not a certified person?
The other counselors only did it for 7 months and get additional money.
Uh-huh.
And I don't want to sound like I'm a frugal department, but I don't have a need in the summer if I don't run 811 programs to have someone here. So it doesn't behoove me to pay that piece.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, great. That was it. Thanks.
Any other questions? Roll call, please.
I'm Eric Anderson.
Yes.
April Bingo.
Yes.
Kathy Buckley.
Yes.
Leonard King.
Yes.
Richard Levine.
Yes.
Ed Marin.
Yes.
Debbie Passano.
Yes.
Pauline Stone.
Yes.
Steve Trombley.
Yes.
Policies. Resolved that the Board of Education does right hereby approve the following policies.
Motion.
Motion by Richard.
Second.
Second by Debbie. Any questions? Okay, Richard, your hand is first.
I couldn't go to the policy meeting because I had to take my wife to the doctor's. I apologize for that. But I would like to postpone the charging school meals till I had input as a member, because I have some things I'd like to ask prior to changing. What do you want to do now?
Well,
I had a question about the language, so maybe that's...
Is it under the same...
It's 8505R, School Meal Charges Administrative Regulations.
Yeah, they're both the same. So.
The same one. One's the policy and one's the regulation.
So you you want to postpone them?
Until after the next meeting.
I have a question about.
Yes.
And it's just language clarification for me.
That's a, if you've got anything there that would cause this not to be able to be postponed?
Yeah. To when, I guess.
Until after the next meeting.
I think the next meeting, which would most likely be in January.
So the next policy meeting, I'd go back to that, and that's when we're going to discuss this? Just want to make sure I'm clear.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know that I need Roxy there. I don't think you have to be there, but I've read all the information that we had, and I wanted some input on that. I don't necessarily need, I don't think she needs to be there. I'd just like to have my input rather than spending 20 minutes now during a board meeting. I'd like to.
No, I think that's fine. I think, and maybe
if you want to go, I don't care.
Maybe what we can do is before the meeting, send out some of your questions, Roxy, and then that way she can answer those, or if she feels she needs to be there, then she could be there, but that way we prevent that.
I just didn't have time between the fact that this is a lovely time of day, you for the mailman. I didn't really get a chance to get to my typing, so yeah.
So we'll hold off on
those two.
I'll
so we have to send the motion, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to hear what Kathy has to say.
She has one. Well, it's.
Oh, it's
can you hear it be answered very quickly? Okay.
I was wondering if the language. I'm just going to read this one for example. It says when a grade K through 5 student account reaches a balance of $5, an initial contact will be made with the student and/or parent. When they say student, what do they mean? Do they mean sending a letter home with the student, or do they mean telling that student in the line, "You owe us $5"?
They tell the student in the line, and then I call the parent or send an email to the parent that they're at the $5 mark. That's when they have $5 in their account.
Right.
Not a negative $5.
Okay. All right.
That's you're getting low, you're getting close.
Okay.
Don't forget, Mitchell.
Okay, because my concern was that you would have a first or second grader being told that they owe, they're in the negative, and... But I think that's hard for a child that young to manage their parents.
Right.
So that was what I'm concerned.
I also have the same question. And I'll just
there's a lot of contact with parents prior
okay.
to with the email, that emails can be sent home batched emails twice a week.
You should take the policy.
Okay. The parents with balances. And they can also check it themselves online.
The policy, you should take the regulation.
Okay.
Too, right?
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, both, yeah,
both of them. Both of
them. 05 and 05 are.
I'll amend my policy to pass the first four and postpone the last two.
I have a question on the first one.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so the question was, is this something that came through from New York State as an amendment for the voting procedures? Is that something that we kind of did?
On the first one, voting procedures?
To my knowledge, it was brought forth by NISPA, and Joanne said most of these were recommendations by NISPA to amend.
Oh, okay.
And I think in the case of the line being struck, it's because we don't actually have a board of registration.
I'm looking at the bolded area. Do we not have signed confidentiality agreements with the people that participate in them?
I swear them all in. I mean, we don't have a problem. I swear them all in.
Right, right.
Right. But NISBA had that in their policy, so I added that into ours. We didn't have it in ours.
Yeah.
All right. And so just for more information, the Board of Education subscribes to a service from NISBA, and it actually gets hit against the board's contractual services account, where we pay them to continually, they use their lawyers to advise us on changes that are happening in education law and how the recommended change to our policy should occur. So it's really plain vanilla changes, not specific to Beekmantown, but specific to New York State public education law. And then when you guys get them, you can tweet them as you like for Beekmantown.
That one just seems a little redundant, considering that it's being sworn in and they're sworn to confidentiality. You know, why do you have to be specific about if you step in and you know don't say anything, as opposed to when you're outside?
You think welcome to this.
Because someone obviously didn't get it after they were told the first part.
Yeah, obviously.
Okay. Any other questions on this? So we've changed it. We're taking out the last two, 8505 and 8505R. We're just voting on the top four. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. Under financial, resolve that the Board of Education accept the following reports as presented by the Audit Committee.
Motion.
Motion by Richard.
Second.
Oh, second by Kathy. All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. Item B, resolve that the Board of Education acknowledge receipt of the warrant report for November 2012.
Motion.
Motion by April, seconded by Debbie. Mm-hmm. All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. Item C, resolve that the Board of Education acknowledge receipt of the budget transfer report for the November 2012 and due from report as of November 2012.
Motion.
Motion by Richard.
Second.
Second by Kathy. All in favor?
Aye.
Again, ayes have it. Item D, resolve that the Board of Education accept the extracurricular report for the month of July and quarterly reports for August, September, and October 2012.
Motion.
Motion by April.
Second.
Seconded by Debbie. All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. Item E, resolve that the superintendent of schools recommends the Board of Education to approve the following transfers over $5,000.
Move to list.
Richard moves to list.
Second.
Seconded by Eric. Any questions? Roll call.
Eric Anderson.
Yes.
April Bingo.
Yes.
Kathy Buckley.
Yes.
Leonard King.
Yes.
Richard Levine.
Yes.
Ed Marin.
Yes.
Debbie Pasino.
Yes.
Colleen Stone.
Yes.
Steve Trumbly.
Yes.
Item F, whereas Section 3651, 1A and 3A of the education law authorizes the school district to establish a reserve fund for the payment of judgments and claims in tax consortia proceeding and to make payments thereof, and whereas the Board of Education desires to increase such reserve fund to pay for judgments and claims for pending 2011-2012 tax consortia proceedings. Now thereof be it resolved that the board hereby increases the reserve fund balance for the judgment payment of judgments and claims and pending tax consortia proceeding and authorizes the transfer of such amount from the fund balance in the general fund to the tax consortia reserve fund as listed below. Eric moves the list. Who seconded?
Me.
Richard second. Any questions? Roll call.
Eric Anderson.
Yes.
April Bingo.
Yes.
Yes.
And I'm here.
Leonard King.
Here.
Richard Levine.
Yes, if that's the right answer, I don't know.
Ed Marin.
Here. Yes.
Debbie Pasco.
Yes.
Pauline Stone.
Yes.
Steve Trombley.
Yep.
Okay, item G. Resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education to accept the following NSED approved NCLB Title II Part A program grant for the 2012-13 year in the amount of $160,255. Project. April.
Second.
Seconded by Richard. Any questions? Roll call.
Eric Anderson.
Yes.
April Bingo.
Yes.
Kathy Buckley.
Yes.
Leonard King.
Yes.
Richard Levine.
Yes.
Ed Marin.
Yes.
Debbie Pasno.
Yes.
Pauline Stone.
Yes.
Steve Trombley.
Yes.
Item H, resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education to accept the following NSED approved Title I A&D Academic Improvement Program grant for the 2012-13 year in the amount of $390,235.
Motion.
Second.
Motion by Richard, seconded by Debbie. Any questions on it? Roll call.
Eric Anderson.
Yes.
April Bingo.
Yes.
Kathy Buckley.
Yes.
Leonard King.
Yes.
Richard Levine.
Yes.
Ed Marin.
Yes.
Debbie Pasno.
Yes.
Pauline Stone.
Yes.
Steve Trombley.
Yes.
Item I, resolved that the superintendent of the schools recommends the Board of Education to accept a donation from the Lady Eagles Hockey in the amount of $10,000. Officials are $1,700 and ice time game offices are $8,300. For the girls' hockey for 2012-13 school year, approve amending the district budget.
Motion.
Motion by Debbie.
Second.
Seconded by Kathy. Any questions? Roll call.
Eric Anderson.
Yes.
April Bingo.
Yes.
Kathy Buckley.
Yes.
Leonard King.
Yes.
Richard Levine.
Yes.
Ed Marin.
Yes.
Debbie Pasno.
Yes.
Pauline Stone.
Yes.
Steve Trombley.
Yes.
Okay, additional items. Start with the clerk's position.
In my update, I gave you some brief description, a reminder description, if you will, of my interest in supporting the high school nurse's office with a person who can attend to the office needs when the nurse is occupied, either behind the screen with confidential matters with students or physically away from the site. I remembered a couple of meetings ago I commented on our budget deliberations last year, and I probably went one cut too deep in a clerical field because it's placed us at a risk, I think, with some potential risk in that particular department if, in fact, there's a student illness or an injury and there's no one physically there to attend to it on an immediate basis. So we began the process of finding out through civil service what's the... if I gave a job description of interest, what would the title be called? And therefore, it begins to dictate what the conditions for a salary would be for that position. We started off with the utmost hope that the position title that I had proposed could be defended and therefore would be a market value. Put simply, we would advertise for a position at a salary offer to see who would be interested in taking it, interview, and make a choice. Civil service jumped in and indicated that the process for identifying who had to come from a select list of names already, and that the highest, the lowest level of assignment must be classified as a clerk position, but that the filling that position was going to come off of the standing typist list. We do not have to pay typist salary for contract language. But we would be obligated to pay clerk if the title is called a clerk. So I have in my update the information associated with what would be the prorated cost if we were to make that appointment this year for the balance of this year. And Mary, if I could ask you line item for where we would find the money for that for this year.
There is unencumbered available budget monies in the
educational wages on your November financial reports. In the educational wages line item, we had built in a potential position in the event that we had enrollment increases. We have not had enrollment increases, so there are some funds sitting there. We would need to do a budget transfer. I'm assuming the amount would be more than $5,000. I don't know what the total is, but there would have to be a budget transfer made if the board decides to create a position. It needs to be a budget transfer made into a wages category into whatever building. I think Mr. Amos said this was the high school, so it'd be in the high school building. Additionally, there'd have to be a budget transfer to cover the health insurance benefits and the retirement benefits and the payroll taxes, the FICA. So each of those individual line items, we would move monies into out of the wages line that we had for potential enrollment increases.
Questions? April?
So the figure that you gave us for the prorated balance isn't an accurate figure then? If we don't have to, payroll taxes and benefits.
That was
that's not prorated. That's the salary for a year. That's only the salary.
It doesn't include the items that she
But it's salary without the benefits.
It's salary
but
without
the
all of that.
Number would come, that at least initial number would be prorated that's down right. to be less.
Correct.
That's correct.
But then
correct.
We still have the health care and yeah. we still have yeah. the mm-hmm. other yeah. costs. So.
To the degree that it can be prorated also, yes.
Okay, it's my understanding that the typist part of this would be to type a APPR, help type APPR reports.
Mm. Go ahead.
Is that my understanding? My only concern is, okay, under my learning plan, under the OASIS program which we have here, okay?
We're about to. We don't have it yet.
You don't have it,
no.
but you're about to have it, okay?
No, correct.
I know other districts that do have it, okay? The principal, assistant principals, whoever's doing the APPR, will go do their evaluation in the classroom, and we have Wi-Fi here, apparently, okay?
Do Only no. Very,
okay.
Very limited.
Then if we don't have Wi-Fi, they go in the classrooms, they type their evaluations through the system, plug them in, okay, in their laptop, bring their laptop back to their offices, and it did print out your evaluations, you know, that the now my main concern is the administrators are doing the evaluations and the security concerns with the teachers, okay, having outside people or secretaries or whatever typing these evaluations for the administrators, okay, the privacy, my second concern, or my second statement would be as far as the nurse's office being covered. I've worked as a secretary in a district for 16 years, okay? It has been, I worked in the main offices. When the nurse is not in her office, the phone calls are transferred to the main office, okay? That's one alternative. The other alternative is the nurse can leave a message saying for the parent to leave a message on the nurse's phone to be called back when she comes to her office, or if it's an emergency, to call the main office, and the main office will take care of it. So I really don't see where paying that kind of money for a person to sit in a nurse's office and answer the phone and type APPR reports when we've got this, I can't see where it would be. Beneficiary to the district.
Yeah.
I guess, have you heard all this? Maybe, Scott, could you clarify what is the risk that you're trying to mitigate, that you're concerned about? What is the objective of this position that is not being accomplished now?
Absences are, first of all, we're a leaner district than in previous years right. because of staff reductions,
okay.
clerical included. Therefore, counting on the assurance that there's somebody on the receiving end of an advanced phone call is got its own issues.
At the nurse's station.
From the nurse to
from
somebody else who may already be occupied doing things in the main office. But having said that, having the physical person there when a student comes in ill and the nurse... later in the agenda, you're going to see that we're rotating nurses now between buildings because we have no subs.
So why is the concern not to get another nurse?
That's also on the list.
Because of the liability is medical attention. Why are we focusing on a clerical position and not on a risk reduction nurse position?
Money.
The original job description, that's why I went through that. I guess I need to be more elaborative. The original job description was for a receptionist, a telephone receptionist. Simply answer the phone calls, take the messages, and divert that from the attention of the nurse who would otherwise be either not even there, but needs to respond to something that has come up urgently. Parent is on their way to take a child home. We've got to have somebody there who knows that the parent is coming and that they're given authorization to actually leave with the child. So there's a part of the risk that I'm referring to. It was civil services determination that the work associated is not really they don't have a description that they're comfortable with filling called telephone operator. Must quickly remind everyone that they do have a test for a telephone operator and they have a name on that list. But they've concluded that that's not what you really need.
Right.
You need to have a typist.
Yeah, but I'm a little confused because when just yesterday, picked up my daughter at school.
Yep.
Nothing to do. The nurse's office, she went to the nurse's station. They called the main office. They contacted us. We came and picked up their daughter. The nurse has nothing to do with outside of telling the office to contact us. So if anyone needs to contact the nurse's office, if she's not there and that call, she hits a transfer button to the main office and they take the calls for her. I'm a little vague on understanding the clerical need as opposed to the risk to not having a nurse. Follow me?
You can't assign a nurse clerical duty.
Well, no, I understand that. So if the concern is not having a nurse, why are we looking for a clerical position and not a nurse? Maybe I'm obviously not getting something right.
Ms. Doxie, give me some help with this one.
I'm sorry that Garth stepped out because I don't have as long of history as he does. Perhaps Joha can help me out.
He's smiling.
I think going back only a couple of years ago, we had, as I was trying to figure here, we had 6 or 7 clerical in the high school between the counseling office, the nurse's office, and the main office. Right now, and remember, that was before the world of computers, as they were just beginning, which is supposed to cut your load, but as we all know, suddenly now I'm running 100 more attendance reports that used to come out from the teachers. They now come out from the main office because we have technology now, so we can pick that up. All that. So we've gone from 6 or 7 only a few years ago, am I pretty accurate in that, to 2. And my main office secretary is also Ed Cook's secretary, who's now part-time. So if I may put it out here, she is a significant part of the athletic department.
Okay.
Right. So she is, in all accounts, full-time for athletics at this particular moment, if
I
just put it on the table. The only other person who works with us is Joha's secretary for discipline. As you might guess, that's very... Discipline can't wait 2 days because I'm busy with something else. So she's very full-time, which leaves the rest of us secretarial lists.
Okay,
I am my own secretary.
So the picture's clear now. So it's not about necessarily nurses. It's about deficit in clerical support.
It's both.
Yes.
It's
and both. If I can just take that
okay,
one
go
step.
Ahead.
I'm
go
sorry.
Ahead. Yeah, no, please.
One thing that has been added, it doesn't seem like much, but if on top of that, with someone not in the nurse's office, we have senior privilege where the kids sign out every day. We have kids in and out. It's not like elementary school where after that initial rush, everybody's sort of in school and there's a few that come in during the day and leave. It's a constant flow from the high school of kids in and out. Are they here? Are they going to class? That was all handled through the nurse's office. So it kind of left
it left my secretary, who's athletic director, to be sort of the athletic director's secretary, to be the athletic director's secretary, the other to focus on discipline. There's nobody there doing that now, so all of that comes through the man. It is just, it is like Grand Central Station, so people who have jobs that need focus, schedules, lists, and discipline, it's just chaotic. So there's two issues here tonight. The first is I'm just too deep for secretarial support. We are not able to do all that we need to do. And moving that, it's almost a position, like moving that stuff that she can do out of the high school office just brings it back down into a reasonable working environment. And then the second piece is our nursing shortage, and that is really a district issue. That's just not a high school issue. That's a district-wide. And the two are coming to the table together tonight, but they're really separate. Yep. Okay. Thank you.
Richard?
I have a question. I understand the problems, but I understand, talking to some of the secretaries in the district, that we get calls all the time to the wrong areas, and the people are always spending time redirecting phone calls around. And my idea would be, why don't we have a district-wide number for everybody to call and then get referred that gives you the position? Right now, someone calls special ed for athletics, and someone calls building and grounds for something else, and they have to spend all that time redirecting.
It's built in.
We actually, for the last, since 2004, we have a, go back as far as you want, 563-8250, main district number. If people actually listen to the auto attendant,
that's the problem.
Unfortunately, you can't change people, but they just start pushing buttons. And they get misdirected. And if there aren't people there to get the number, and one additional focus, and I think this will tie into the nurse's office, we lost a clerical person out of the registrar's office last year whose function was the district operator. One of her many roles was to direct all those calls from that centralized location. We now have your wife, superintendent, secretary, and I think one other person who, as they can, answering all of those calls and redirecting.
That's my whole point.
So their lack of focus, if we can kind of piggyback on that, to get anything done when you are playing four other people's jobs at the same time, we kind of knew this was all going to happen. We just didn't know what it was going to look like.
Yeah.
And so the part of that receptionist, or whatever you want to call that, the typist role, among other things, was having that phone with the sidecar on it to direct those calls so that the other clerical people could get their work done.
Because what I'm hearing is it doesn't really cover the needs. Because when they're answering phone, they're not typing anything.
Exactly.
Because every secretary has that problem. They're trying to do something to answer phone all day long.
Do we need
to go back to where we have somebody answering phone calls so that the secretaries don't spend 30% of their time answering phones?
That's frustrating because the phone system's pretty good. Yeah. You know, you dial a number, you go to,
if you take the time to listen, you said, you know,
Mary's Area 51. I have five and then I have one. Yeah. You know, I know how to get to there.
With all due respect, we do not have a tutorial time per phone call to point out how to do it.
Yeah. So I guess my point is, though, understanding the fact that when someone's answering a phone, they're not doing secretarial work.
Right.
So does this position actually do what you want? Are you going to have them be able to answer all those phone calls and do the work, or is it going to be constantly, hello, 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 and they're not getting the work done?
My premise was we wanted only an operator. I'll go back to that. Yeah. Telephone operator. Didn't have intentions of having them type reports, didn't have an intention of doing anything with typists connected to it. It was civil service saying, well, you can't get a telephone operator at your wages that you would offer, but we can give you a typist. Well, how many times, Duane, smiling, I almost was yelling after several phone calls and several days of trying and written correspondence back and forth to civil service saying, I don't need a typist, I need a telephone receptionist, a telephone operator. So now the classification that I'm proposing to you is only because that's the lowest level above operator I can get to do the function called answering the phones.
Are they not going to be doing APPR you said?
No. Because there's confidentiality issues associated with it. I'm not. No. The idea of maybe having, we talked about this, maybe we got mixed messages here. We talked about possibility of exploring with BOCES a COSER for the use of a clerical who might be a floating clerical for the purpose of typing AP. This isn't it. Yeah. This is not what this is for. This is answering those phones so other people can get on with their jobs, direct the phone calls. But I now, redundant as this is, I can't propose to you a telephone receptionist. No, civil service won't recognize that.
I guess my question was, if it's a dual, how much of it was actually going to be typing?
Right.
If it's only primary, if it's not really, then I don't see the problem.
The primary role is answering phones, taking messages, directing the phone calls, and on the safety issue, when there's nobody in that office, be able to take, I know who to call right now to deal with this emergency. If there's nobody there to even see there is an emergency, we sit with one. And that's where the liability question comes in.
Eric?
Yeah, I have just a quick thing. I know the safety committee met, and I know there was some concerns about not necessarily having a hall monitor or things like that. So we have limited funds. So while I can see needing this position, I want to make sure that there's not another position that maybe is needed more, and making sure the administrators and and everybody has kind of come to the same conclusion where basically if we could pick one, this is the one we would pick, or is it a situation where we need to think about that, or is there a way to do it, a 50-50 receptionist / hall monitor, something along those lines. I don't know the answer. I'm just throwing it out so that at least, because we don't want to hire on this position, and then next month be told, hey, we really need this position. And then I'm like, well,
I guess that's where
at least let's, if we need both positions, we need to know that too.
Yeah.
Let's let Debbie, chair of our safety.
Well, I guess I wasn't going to chime in with it at this time, but that does open the door for that we had several significant issues brought to our attention the other day that also seemed to be a valid need. So with limited funds, we are going to have to maybe put all of these things on the table and decide what piece of the pie is going where, because a couple of the things that were mentioned were a number of students who are between activities after school that are in the school but not really under anyone's attention or care.
Yeah.
That's a concern, a big concern. And there was also Mr. Amel, in not the last superintendent update, but I think the one prior, you had brought up some concerns about the uptick in disciplinary issues. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I think we need to get some administrative involvement in to try to determine why these things are happening, what's happening, to what degree, why, and whether or not this hall monitor type position maybe would fill in some of those gaps. So a lot of places that need attention and not a lot of funds to give them. Just my 2 cents, because that's all I got.
Ed, you had your hand.
Yeah, I think all those are important. At the end of the day, it's going to come down to, here's what the budget is, the staff team decides what the priorities are, and whatever happens, happens. I mean, there's not too much discussion to be had, right?
One more.
Two things, like a piggyback on and what Eric said and what Debbie said. We had asked last year when we did the budget, we knew we were cutting really tight. What I want to see, and I'm not against any of these positions, I don't want anybody to get me wrong, but does this fix the problems that we had by cutting so deep? Like Eric said, do I put in this position and then you say, I've got to have a nurse, or I got to have this position? If we can't do the job that we're here for, I want to see the whole picture. I don't want to see, okay, this is $30,000, this is $20,000. Next week you want a $50,000 nurse, because this one might not be as high a priority to us. So I want to know how much money we're looking at total. And the second point is, I think we need to break it into two sections. How do we get through this year with the problems we have? And does that mean automatically that next year we have to fund these positions, or is there a better way to reallocate our resources? You know, I know you can't do it in the middle of a year, but next year, is there a way to reformat everybody and say, okay, if we can't get this done, with the people we have, what can we do, and then look at it again, because I don't want to just say this year, okay, we'll give you the four positions to get you through the year, but now they're automatically the next budget forever. I understand we have problems, but like you say, this, we could have, there's already two on here, how many more are there that really aren't getting done, that aren't being brought forward? And I'd like to know, if there's other things the principals say that they got to have, I'd like to look at it all at once and say, you know what, I think this is more important than that as a group, than spend money that I would have rather spent on something else and not be able to do it then. So that's my 5 cents.
So what's the wishes of the board at this time on this clerk position? You want
to... Well, I get to follow Red's comment. We don't know what is going to be, how much funding is going to be available for next year. So do we hire someone now and then suddenly have to cut them next year again?
Very possible.
Right?
I feel a little bit compromised by the whole conversation, quite frankly, because the effort was to solve a problem with possible solution available this year, no certainty on the future, because nothing is certain.
Right.
Nothing is certain for next year. I think I have represented the priority already. I will take it back, ask again. If there's a reprioritizing all of the things that were reduced this year, bring that one forward if that's what is yielded. But I thought I'd done that. But I'll ask again.
When you say you thought you'd done that, so as far as the, you've talked with the administrators in the sense that
what I've done that, yes.
What was in comparison to, let's say, a hall monitor, they would prefer to have this.
I will bring it back to verify it, Garrett. Okay.
I mean, I just want to make sure we have that list so that we kind of understand that we've covered everything.
Well, it's a question, if I could, it's a question of a list that you agree on or a recommendation being made because it was done. That's a significant question.
So wait a minute, say again?
Are we going to be examining the yes or no on the list, or are you going to take a recommendation after the process has again been gone through to say, here is a recommendation?
Well, I see what you're saying.
Then
my only question would be, are you not going to come back to us for any more people for the rest of the year? If this is it, then we'll look at it. But I don't want to vote on this, and then next month I need three more people. I don't want to see that.
It's an item for discussion, first of all. You don't have a resolution. It was simply to get this going so we can decide, is this something that we want to consider?
I'm not against any position. Yeah. I just say if we had said before, we would look at it again, that we cut what we had to cut to make the budget. But I find it hard to believe this is only two things that aren't up to snuff as far as everybody's concerned.
All right, let's let Kathy have a chance.
Actually, I have two questions. One is, does it absolutely positively have to be full-time? And the other is, do we have to follow, for people who are reduced down to part-time secretary, are they now automatically put into that full-time position and we hire a part-time person? Or...
That would go back to the list.
Do we need to return to the list?
If civil service has a list of preferred eligibles, I think it's referred to. Mm-hmm. Civil service, we're obligated to get from civil service that list. Mm-hmm. The terms and conditions of the assignment are then shared with that person. They can accept or reject the terms. Mm-hmm. There is no, I'm going to ask Joanne to just nod in agreement if I'm right with this. There is no list for clerk, or there is? There's a list for typists, but at clerk wages, the question mark is, will that name still be interested?
What's the breakage between a clerk and a typist?
Joanne, do you even have an idea?
I have a contract. I don't have it.
There's a difference. A typist is more expensive. Not a ton, but it's more expensive. So if I'm trying to follow through on your question, Kathy, if we do this, at some point, does the person who gets the offer come off a preferred list? We have to start with preferred lists,
okay.
First of all. The degree to which that position is offered, you've raised the question of part-time or not. Part-time telephone operator, I guess, could be done. I'm trying to speak to the issues that present themselves now. Mm-hmm. But if we want to, and we are, I mean, I made a note to reconsider the priority order of the requests needing extra assistance. So I'll bring that task back to everybody and ask them.
We've went around a good many times here, and I think if, let's let him bring back whatever he sees. So let's continue on with our next bullet, the substitute rate for the cafeteria department.
Yeah, I'll let Roxy speak to it, but it's basically a recommendation from the cafeteria committee. What's basically happening here is there's just been a lot of absences, and to fill that position, she has to go from a list, and at that rate of pay, it's not as much as what a typist pool would pay, so she rarely can get us up, right, Roxy? So
we're all digging into the same pool when it comes to subs. My rate is 725. The others are from 781 to up to 850. So I was just trying to be more competitive to be able to get people to cover my absences within the department.
Now, what's your recommendation to go up to what, 850?
Yes, please.
Yes, sir.
I don't have a problem with it. We had the same problem with maintenance. We had the same problem with janitors. If we can't get subs, we got to go with the market we'll pay.
Eric? And what do you think would be the total cost? I mean, it seems like a dollar, you know, are we looking at thousands? Are we looking at 1,000 at the most or something like that?
Yeah, no, 1,000. Subs are called in from 2.5 to 4 hours. It's not an 8-hour shift.
With the price of gas, it's got to be worth the trip.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to me that it's not.
Just trying to be more competitive within that same pool.
I don't have a problem with it.
Do we want to bring a resolution forward?
Sure.
Yes, go ahead.
Also, just additional information for the board. New York State has an assembly bill right now that's currently in the assembly looking at raising New York State minimum wage from $7.25, which is currently the substitute rate that Roxy has, to $8.50 effective January 2013. I can't forecast or predict what the New York State Assembly is going to be, but just so that the Board of Education can put this in context, what Roxy is asking of the board to consider, New York State is considering statewide that minimum wage be raised to $8.50 anyway, so don't feel like you might be forced to do this anyway, even if you say no tonight, if the New York State passes this minimum wage assembly bill.
This had happened before. We had hired somebody at a low rate, maybe $14,000-$15,000, and then the minimum wage went up, and they got $900-something raise. It's the same thing. That.
So, is it the wishes of the board to have a resolution?
I'll make the resolution.
Okay. Resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends the Board of Education to increase the substitute rate for the food service helper and school lunch cashier from $7.25 per hour to $8.50 per hour.
Motion.
Second.
Effective.
She raised her hand.
Effective immediately.
Tomorrow.
Sure.
is there any issue with the business office? Is it okay to be effective immediately?
It can be effective tomorrow. Yeah. I would prefer it not be retroactive.
Right. No, effective. Yeah. No, it's not going to be retroactive.
There is no retroactive business, is there?
Okay. Need a second on that?
She did. No, Kathy.
Oh, Kathy.
Okay. Well, actually, April raised her hand.
Who made the motion?
She did a real quick one.
Richard.
Richard made the motion. And April?
April. Sorry, I didn't see it. Any other discussion on this? I don't know. Do we need a roll call for that?
Yes, it's money.
May I have a roll call, please? I don't know. It's not going to hurt.
Eric Anderson?
Yes.
April Bingo?
Yes.
Kathy Buckley?
Yes.
Leonard King?
Yes.
Richard Levine?
Yes.
Ed Marin?
Yes.
Debbie Passanow?
Yes.
Colleen Stone?
Yes.
Steve Trumbly?
Yes.
Today's your birthday.
Thank you.
Okay. Financial reports electronically. I think, Eric, you've got something to say on that, was it?
In our meeting with the finance or the business office, one of the things that we kind of looked at is that we get these huge packets. So if it's whether it's an extracurricular report for the three quarters. Yeah. So when somebody's looking and you're getting something like this, it's very hard as a board member to go through that, especially to look to seriously look at it and say, okay, you know, how are we doing, what's going on, and if we could get it electronically, for me, preferably it'd be like in Excel or something so I could filter through and look for the numbers. But even if it was a PDF, something that we could maybe do some quick searches to look for, you know, the big ticket items and say, well, how are we doing on whatever it might be. So.
We've got a committee, audit committee, that goes through every page of that, okay? So you've got a policy committee that we don't want to look at every little thing.
Right.
Okay, you've got an audit committee that goes through every page of that, okay? So I don't know how the rest of the board feels, but.
That's, Richard had his hand up first.
Is it required that we, is that required that we have all of that information, or can she just summarize it?
The information you receive in the packet is required under education law to receive the information. The question is, does the board prefer hard copy, or will the board accept an electronic copy? Is the key distribution
question. You can do it either way.
I'd rather have the paperwork. I'd like to go through it.
So you're seeking a show of hands, I think, of who wants it which way.
Yeah.
There you go. I'm sorry, April. Yeah. That basically.
Yep.
Any other questions on it? Just your preference? I would say just tell Mary which way you'd prefer to have it.
What? No, but then I don't have 11 different distribution channels. If we can have like a standard, the board's financial reports will be distributed this way. By exception, if somebody wants it a different way, then, you know, we'll keep track of that. But for me to constantly try to manage where 11 different copies of the same thing are going, we should have a standard distribution format that the board agrees upon.
I would make a note that primarily the people that, I think most people wouldn't mind having it electronically. The ones that really go through it in more detail is the audit committee.
I need my hard copy.
But other people do, and I mean, I prefer it to be electronic, and if I want it hard, a hard copy that I can ask for, a hard copy separately if you guys really feel like you need one. But
well, I think we should really do it. I think we should all do it one way. And if everybody else wants to do electronic, I'll do electronic. I'm just old school. I just like to see it.
And just so that you know, this is like a 2 to 3 reams of paper.
You're gonna save a lot of paper.
Yeah.
I think we should all do it the same way. I don't think we should do it both ways. Most of us want it electronically, let's do it electronically.
Pauline's got a very good point. We have an audit committee for a reason. They go through that thing for a reason. Right? So they come up with a problem.
I just think we all do the same way.
Is it possibly do it electronically, with the exception being the audit committee will also receive a hard copy so they can go through it, since they're the primary ones going through it, but then the rest of the board would at least receive it electronically? That would save trees, but then, I mean, because as Pauline just mentioned, if the audit committee is going through, and it sounds like at least two members of the audit committee want it hard copy. You'd probably like it both ways, maybe, so that way you've got it a hard copy while you guys are at your meeting, but electronically you have it for.
I'll try to adapt. I'll try it electronically, see how it works for me.
Any other comments on it? Electronically, other than your audit committee?
Okay. You don't need a resolution or anything for that?
No, I don't think so. Okay, the sub-nurse shortage.
No, I did so well the first time. That's good. Gotta laugh.
Good sub-nurse.
As previously advertised, we have nurse shortage issues across the district. Different times of the year, probably peaks and valleys, but no real good time of the year to be able to guarantee that there won't be a nurse in every... What's that? Chicken in every pot thing, a nurse in every office all the time. The sub-nurse shortage is regional. It's not just limited to our district. We have a rate we pay for sub-nurses. Let me back up. We advertise regularly, which if we put it in the paper, it's a cost to keep running the ads, but we're continually asked by the nurses and others in the district, why don't you advertise? So every once in a while, we try again to go through the newspaper, but it costs to do that. We always maintain open substitute postings on the website to cut down the cost otherwise, and just have anybody who's cruising the website one day say, oh, I didn't know they needed subs. I can do this. Neither of those has solved our problem, period. We checked with BOCES today, actually. I was in conversation with the assistant superintendent. The BOCES itself has the same problem. They can't get sub-nurses. They've upped their rates for sub-nurses to $75 an hour, or $75 a day. They are struggling to get anybody who wants to do it at that rate, which is appreciably higher than our current rate. So originally, before the meeting today, the conversation I was going to lead you to was, would there be some consideration to changing the rate? In other words, have a differentiated rate for a sub-nurse as opposed to subs, you know, per se. But BOCES trumped it by saying they're already offering $75 a day, which is pushing close to a daily rate for a teacher sub.
That is our nurse sub rate.
There we go. And they are having trouble getting subs. So I bring to your attention, we have sub nurse shortages. We shuffle nurses around to nobody's satisfaction when you do that. And I don't have a clear solution of how that's going to change.
Do you have a recommendation in mind? I mean, if they're not biting at what you're offering now, do you have a thought in mind as to what would be lucrative enough to be able to draw someone in when we need them?
I don't. The daily rate for, you know, that $75 rate was surprising to me that that's not attracting for both. Maybe it's the site. Maybe they'd love to come to Bacon Town for $75 as opposed to work through BOCES to go to be a sub, but I don't get that sense today from the meeting. So I don't have a solution. It's all money. If we're going to think if money's going to do it, well, okay, how much do you want to throw at this? But I don't know if money yet has done it for BOCES. That's my point.
Okay, would it be practical to look into the idea of hiring someone full-time? I mean, like a nurse's aide type, and she would go to the buildings where necessary, or have a regular schedule. You know, like if the nurse at the high school is going to be out today, then she's at that school. There's an element.
It's a function of their licensure as to what they can do. It's not so much a body to go, but they have to be able to give medications. They can't do that. Mm-hmm. They have to, at the lowest level of lowest, and that's, I don't mean it pejoratively, the certification for an LPN is different than an RN, or RN is, if you will, more four-year school, LPN not. But state education law allows you to hire LPNs as long as you have on site an RN to supervise or be the supervisor of. Having said that, we don't get LPN applicants, is what I'm trying to point out. So we definitely can't, it sounds good if it was just a get a person or a body to do that task. They have minimum requirements that they have to carry by way of licensures to be considered to be that floating person. We're at a stage where we don't even have those people to consider floating or permanently assigning. We just don't have subs.
Good. So for our nurses, our sub-nurses, we don't use the same system that we use for teachers, when it calls them, or do we?
Yes,
we do. Yes.
We do, okay. So when you're saying advertise, you're saying to just get people onto our list of potential subs?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I think it seems to me, I mean, knowing what the pay is of nurses and the fact that they're in high demand as far as, you know, oftentimes they come out of college with the job right away. I mean, and their pay is starting at probably $20+ an hour. You know, $75 isn't really going to be all that enticing, which, and considering probably there's not, it doesn't have the potential to be near as cost, you know, constant where you're going to be getting a lot. So I don't know, I mean, ultimately, if we go up, will that still get us enough people, even if we went up to, let's say, $100 a day?
That's my question. I don't know either. It's forecasting an amount. I didn't have an amount to even talk about tonight. It was just understanding that BOCES shared with me a recent amount and their difficulty still getting subs.
April, you're next.
Still
have a question?
He answered my question.
Oh.
I'm good.
Kathy?
I'm good.
Ed? No, Ed was...
So from what we heard from the staff a moment ago, and
the sub-nurse come?
Do we just not need a sub-nurse and just need a nurse?
That's what my point is. That's where we're going.
A nurse.
Yeah. That's why I didn't want to hit the first one, because I figured we're going to need a nurse. Because if you can't get a body to fill, what do you do? You got no choice.
think the district this year has also experienced, and towards the end of last year, increased attendances. I don't know if there's any rhyme or reason or trend, but the issue is rising because we have more absences than what we've had in the past. But I think as a district, if you look at our 10-year history, our enrollment numbers of students have decreased over the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. We have increased the nurses within this district during that same time period. We have 4 nurses within the district. We have 3 buildings within this site right here. I think we need to get creative and possibly study with the administrators, what are the needs, what are the services? Should we consolidate all 3 nurses' offices to a health facility within this district building?
That's a good point.
I don't
that
know,
is a
but
good
let's,
point.
Let's One study it and let's evaluate it, because rather than settling for a substitute that may or may not be qualified and familiar with our students, our teachers, our administrators, maybe we leverage the skill set ability of the current nurses that we do have.
Differently.
How do we
maybe
compare?
There is a clerk position needed to support a redesigned health facility. I don't know, but we should look into it.
What do the other districts do? I mean, how many nurses at Plattsburgh? How many nurses at Peru? Do we know?
I don't know, but I know we've lost nurses from here that went to Peru.
Peru pays professional rate for their nurses. We don't.
Right.
That's an issue, too.
Plattsburgh High School pays professional rates for their nurses.
Why don't we
pay professional rates
for something like
that? We had talked about it quite a few years ago. We were going to do that when the budget stuff hit and never came about.
So this goes back to my point earlier. Maybe we should look at it a different way. Short of what she says, what do you guys got to have to get through the year? What's the minimum to get you through this budget year? What do you got to have? And then we'll look at it again in the budget when we have the information. I mean, I understand there's a problem answering the phones. I got it. How much money do you need to get through the rest of this year? And then we'll look at it again in the budget. If there's any redesign or whatever, we'll look at it then.
That's in
2 weeks. Yeah, I know, but I didn't say that. But my point is the needs now, and it's not getting done
but
now.
But that's the other way. Really what it is we have a budget.
Yeah.
The staff decides what they need and how to prioritize their funds. I mean, they're the experts. They know what they need. Here's the pot of money. You know, have at it.
Yeah. But you see what I'm saying, though?
Right. So,
she had a great suggestion.
Yes.
Does it solve the problem now? What are we going to do to get from today to the end of the school year is what I'm saying. We got to do something, obviously. So what do we have to do? Do we have to put a position, lock it in this year and then have it next year? No, we don't. But we can get them through this year somehow. Saying, what do you got to have minimum to get you to the end of the year? This position, a nurse up, whatever, we'll address it in the budget. If you have to pay professional rates to get somebody, we'll talk about it.
We have one at Cumberland Head.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we have how many right here?
Elementary, middle school, and high school.
So within the 3 buildings here, you're saying that if one is absent, the other 2 can't cover?
That's what they do.
That's what they do presently.
Do we have that many injuries and that many fights? And
there's also student medication that has to be given at a specific time and things like that. So it's a whole huge
issue. I think they need to decide what they need. And if we have the budget, we have the budget.
Mm-hmm. Parenthetic to this, and if I could add, there was a number of years ago a decision to make a separation between the middle school and the high school. So a regional location for services to come out of that entire population. I wasn't here, so those who may have been around at the time, it was a decision point to make middle school a standalone and the high school a standalone, which meant separate the services to deal with those populations by design.
Mm.
Now, if fiscal conditions are causing us to rethink consolidation, know that that's the history that led us to a reconsideration if we're going to do that.
I don't know
the effect of it. I'm just saying there's an idea.
But what Mary said, if you consolidate them, And is one nurse enough for middle school, high school? And if it is, that's, our problem goes away. But if it isn't, we still have a problem. So we have to look at it.
We don't even know if consolidation is an option. I'm just tossing it out as a consideration that be explored, that we think outside of the box and not feel like we have to live within the design that we currently have. I mean, I also don't know. I can't sit here and tell you how many sick days do the nurses have. Maybe all the time is burned and there's no more sick time left. So maybe there's not an issue for the rest of the year. I don't know. I haven't studied this. You know, so there's a lot of what ifs and a lot of options out there that need to be looked at.
I don't even think that I understood her to be saying remove a position. I think what she was saying, if I've got you right, would be to consolidate them to an area so that there's enough coverage with two nurses.
I am not advocating decreasing at all.
No, right. What I mean is, instead of having one in middle school and one in high school, when you consolidate, do you need one for each? That's why I said, I don't know. What's the volume? I have no clue.
And as Mr. Amo explained, in past years, the desire and the design was separate them for reasons that were more important at that time than the issues that we are facing today.
I don't know.
We just have to be flexible and adapt to the conditions we're under today, all around.
I do have one idea. I said I didn't know where to go with it. I've been kicking one around. I don't know if it's doable, but... Hey, let it at least be a public idea. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. For me to contact the Plattsburgh State as well as Clinton, because one does the LPN, one does the RN, and see if there's a practical requirement for students to receive their licenses. I would be glad to offer our school as a site to accept as many practicum students as we can. And have them, if they're able to be far enough along in their program and approved by the state to serve as a sub with selected functions, at least that's an avenue to pursue. I don't know if the state will allow them to do that or the college will allow them to do that. I'm just saying it's an avenue to pursue.
But don't they have to go out a certain amount of time anyway? The hospital and other places?
I think they do. The question is, are they there to practice under the supervision of a college person, or are they there to perform a duty for the district that they're assigned to?
In a school district would not be where they would want to.
No.
They're not going to learn
that,
anything.
That's why
they're not going to learn anything. You know, they're going to hand medication out. That's all they're going to do. And then I don't think they could do that.
I don't think they can either, Steve. I think you're right. I know you're right on that.
So I guess after all this discussion that we haven't really come to any kind of conclusion. I don't know that we will. But say we were to say, okay, we'll give you the clerk position. Will that cover to the new year? Will that cover the minimum requirements you guys need until next year? Until we've discussed it in detail and hashed it and got information and whatever we're going to do. It's still, what I'm saying is the problem is now, if we don't make a decision now, it isn't going to be taken care of to the end of the year. And like you said, I don't want to commit thousands of dollars when we don't know the information, but is this enough to get you through to the end of the year? If we give you the clerk, will that get you through to the end of the year and we can worry about the rest later? Because as of tonight, they still don't have anybody if they need it.
Well, oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I would say to that, given the earlier charge, I'll put nurse, sub, clerk, hall monitor, throw them all in the hat, bring them back to everybody and say, you tell me which one to lobby for.
Yeah.
Because they're all needed. It's a question of how much money in this given budget. That's why I asked Mary to talk about where would the line items be used to tap into the one I suggested, which was the nurse
one isn't solvable.
If we want a hall monitor, whatever line item, if that comes up as the top of the list, it will any one of these issues will make better environment for the rest of the year, no question about it. But none of these positions would I be saying to you today, I would be certain they're going to be around, certainly, can't say with certainty that they'd be in a budget for next year, because we don't know the numbers yet. We got a problem now, and we got some line item accounts where we could begin to solve one or more of the problems now.
It would seem to me with the sub-nurse shortage, that depending on the number of days that we would expect, there's only four people potentially, so even if they had, we're talking 40 days, so if they used all 40 days, and we went from $75 to $100, we're really not talking... $1,000 at that? $100,000?
Yep.
So, and if we were to, let's say, I'm just going to throw out a number, $100, would that $100 put us above everybody else? Because that potentially, if we go above BOCES, and we go above Plattsburgh and Peru and Saranac, and then we throw out a quick average, now we're the highest, maybe potentially now we've trumped everybody, and if there's only six sub-nurses out there, all six are going to want to come to us because they're making $25 more.
Yeah, it should certainly be competitive. I mean, yeah.
I mean, we really, the idea would be is that we would be above everybody. But I don't know what everybody else is. For all we know, since Peru and Boston are charging the going rate, maybe they may be at $150, which might be why BOCES and us can't get anybody, because if you get paid double somewhere else, that's who you would go to. So I don't know the amount, but that could be an option. At least to get us through the school year, yeah. Fred's saying, and we're only talking $1,000 or $2,000 increasing the rate.
Well, I would say let's look at it the next time around. Again, we're hashing this one here around, and I think we need to move on. We've got three more items. So, Mr. Amo, if you bring us back some kind of information.
Yep, that's on my. Yep.
So we wouldn't consider going up a little bit on the subrate just to make sure that we get some coverage between now and then?
A month isn't going to really.
No,
we're about
holidays.
To head into a long break, and we have a meeting early January. So
I should be able to get a profile to answer your question and present that as, here's the profile of the schools I named, but A, B, C, D, E. Here's what they pay. What do you want to do something with that information?
Right.
Just a request on the report, or whatever you want to call it. If you come back to me with a position saying, I can get a clerk position, and I could raise this, and this will get us through the end of the year, I'm not against it. I just don't want to commit till the next budget. That's all. Then we'll have had time to hash out. But if, like he says, if it's $1,000 for the one and $1,000 for the other, I'm not going to cry tears for that. I just want to make sure that we're going to come back later and say, well, this is the problem. This is what we really need to fix it long term.
Okay, let's go on. 2013-14 budget calendar.
I put in the calendar that we followed for the development of the budget for this year. Why would I do that? Number one, it's almost January, believe it. We're heading December, but January for our purposes. And that would put a smack dab in starting the budget process. We would need to have the board approve a budget calendar, which would lay out the events of expected activities, both from the district's point of view, your point of view, and the community's point of view, to know what's coming up when. Given that, one point I would make is given that this calendar was developed on the assumption that there were two meetings a month, obviously the dates in this calendar may or may not be affected anymore. So I simply wanted to bring to your attention, here was the calendar that was followed. Here are the events that were embedded in the calendar, and seek input from you as to how to proceed with the calendar to adopt. Ideas could be you could call this your regular budget calendar. Your regular board meetings could still be one a month, but you could always schedule special board meetings for the purpose of discussing the budget.
Yes.
You could embed that into the calendar, and Joanne would have her notification requirements and all that stuff that she could follow. That's one idea, but I'll stop there because you might have other ideas.
I think what I would like to see this year, I don't want to see input from the public after the superintendent's already drawn up the budget. Because by then it's pretty well locked in, it's hard to change anyway. I think we should have input from the public in the front end, January, February, have one or two meetings where they can come in, they can say whatever they want. So that down the road, we're not looking at the budget that you get people come in, I don't like it, it's not like that. Well, I want to hear it up front. Anybody wants to say their piece. And then we move forward and we present it to the public. Then we don't have all the yelling and screaming. They had the chance to say what they wanted. And then we can actually get closer where we want to go. But you see, last year, we get there and then, the budget's basically done. And then everybody comes and complains about everything. But how much time do you have to work on it now? So I'd rather have the public get more chance to talk earlier so we can think about what they're saying prior to locking in on most of what we're going to do, because like you say, we walk in there one night, people come in and they complain about so many things on the thing. Well, why do you wait that late for it?
Because until they see it in front of them, they're not realizing what's happening with their numbers. They're not in tune with the process.
I know, but we know earlier than that, roughly. He knows, you know what I'm saying? That we have some kind of rough, so let them have an input before he even does it. So that they get their say, they feel that they've had enough time to get it out of their system and say what they want, and then we don't have to face a charge of, you didn't listen to us, because it was already set up, it was already presented, and they're not going to change it. That's the perception out there, that we come in with this, and then, oh, I don't like this, don't like this, don't like this. Well, let them tell us earlier. I don't know how that would fit in the budget, but I'd like to hear earlier from the public than we do, so that maybe it's just a perception, but they feel, well, here you are, you started January, February, now it's, what, 4 months later, where was the input? Well, we didn't have any input for 4 months, and now everybody's unhappy with, they probably might still be unhappy. There's not, I just think we could have input from the public of what, like I'm saying, you don't have to have it on budget line, but do you want to have sports? Do you want to have music? What's important to you? What are your priorities before we craft the budget? Because if 100% of people come and say, okay, we'll live without sports, well, that's a no-brainer. But if 98% come and say, we don't want you to give up sports, I want to know that prior to doing the budget.
Are we going to activate the budget page on the website that was used last year for public input?
It's still active.
It's still active.
It's still open.
Yep.
So we could put a reminder out to people that it's still there, which solves some of what you're talking about.
Earlier, you know, I understand we can't be real specific. Earlier, we don't need to be specific. We just say, what are your what's important to you? What do you want to say? Tell us now. And later on, when they come in and do it, then we have the details, and they can talk again if we want. But I'm saying, the public feels they don't get to say things. If things are already decided before they get to talk. That's what the perception is. And I just want to get around that.
It's not everybody have a chance.
Do we want to go around this way?
And it doesn't matter. We can skip around wherever you want to.
I really think, I agree with Red. It would be nice to have it earlier in the process. I don't know if too early is a good thing, but maybe something along the lines of once we've kind of established some of our parameters and let them be known, and maybe we have some rough guidelines of where we're headed, not before we finalize everything, but rough, then we can get that public input. So the public has an idea of where we're expecting to go. Even someone's just the simple numbers of knowing this is where our fund balance is standing right now. This is what we're thinking as a cap. This means we're going to have an expected total budget of this amount. And, you know, here are some things that are kind of set in stone, and here are some things that we have some flexibility with, and just a rough framework, and then that way they can respond, but with at least some knowledge of where we're headed, and that way they do feel involved. So at least we get that early, and then as we get closer and we've gone through some stuff, then, you know, I'd like to hear from them again, because ultimately they decide whether they like that budget or not, and they have to vote, and, mm-hmm. you know. You can't please everybody, but at least if we can hear as many people as possible, then I think we have a good chance.
Well, that still doesn't set the calendar up. How do we want to set up this calendar? This is the thing. Go ahead.
I think we should not change the monthly board meetings as they are now, but allow us those other special meetings to be specific to the budget, so more efficient on the budget, period.
Right, the secondary meeting would be strictly devoted to budget preparation.
No, there wouldn't be it would be an open meeting, but it would be a budget.
Yeah.
Right, with no other housekeeping.
Not board
right.
Meetings.
Exactly. Okay. Is that the feeling of the board?
Yes.
Although I would like the superintendent's input, at what point would it be best to have that early? So I leave that up to you. If it's a month earlier, 2 weeks or whatever you feel you can do, I don't want you to have to tell people before you do a budget, but I understand there's a point when you won't feel comfortable until to do something.
Yeah, we've started the process. I think I pointed that out in my update. That's why I gave you the copies of, you know, my cover letter. And what the administrators and supervisors are presently doing is to meet a deadline to provide their first foray into what they feel they need to, you know, operate their district, operate their buildings. then there's a whole series of conversations and meetings, and but we're guided at some point, earlier the better, with parameters that the board wants to shoot for. Because if the shoebox is for size 9 shoes, we don't want to be developing size 11 appetites for the shoes. If the sooner we know what the boundaries are, or what your preferred boundaries are, or ranges even, the better it is for us to be able to try to, you know, get it to work. Having said that, there's a I believe you know this to be true. Going out early with public input is to find out what public would like, as opposed to waiting to find out from what choices will you make. Do you have a preference of which of these things for your choices? Two different processes. The first one would be saying, hey, if you didn't even know what the budget was going to be like this year, let's hold meetings and find out what you'd like to see included in the budget. Well, that's just fact-finding and curiosity and all of those good things. There are good things that come out of that. But there's also the big risk of a lot of disappointments that you didn't come back to the other meetings to find out it wasn't going anywhere once we got into the hard numbers. So there's the balance point. That's the tricky point in terms of how soon do you start and what do you do with it. I'm all for, we've adjusted this process several times over the last several years, trying to get more and more ways to be certain that there is more knowledge about the budget that's being proposed to the audience that shows up the last night to hear what's in it. That's another part of the dilemma. It's how do you get everybody to stay informed up until the night they want to, some come for the first time to hear about it. That's a challenge that's going to exist all the time. So I'm all for the transparency part of it. I'm all for making it known. But if we've got to be sure enough in what we're proposing early enough that we can stand behind it later. And part of that is, okay, we can ask the question, what does the community want to support? And the question is, which community is answering it? The one that showed up that night? Or some other effort to find out the unspoken community's interest, and then later discover that that's not what the larger community wants. That's always been the challenge in Beacon Towns, to try to get a real good pulse on the community's interest and support of its budget for schools. Community interest and support.
Kathy was first.
In the past, we kind of thrown around the idea of working with Plattsburgh State to do a pre-budget survey.
Yep.
Is that a possibility, or are we too late?
Yes and no. Yes, it's a possibility. No, I don't think it's too late at all. Mm-hmm. I just have been hesitant until we've had this conversation mm-hmm. tonight to say, is there support to do that? Because if there's support to do it, I would personally want to get on that pretty quick. Mm-hmm. Because then it's going to be asking the questions, what does the community want mm-hmm. in its budget? Mm-hmm. You're not, I mean, you have to, your tough part starts with after everyone has spoken. What are you going to do with those answers? Mm-hmm. Tough, but the first part is getting answers that are representative from the community.
Debbie?
Well, Kathy asked the question that I was going to ask, mm-hmm. because we've talked about this before. Is that something, I know the website seemed to generate a lot of activity last mm-hmm. year. Is that something we could do through the website? Do you think we'd get enough response from that?
No, we wouldn't. Answering the question is, I'll turn it around and word it this way. From the statisticians and the actuarial people who have been trained, you know that you need a certain number of a sample population in order to say its answer represents what most people would have picked. You can't do that with 5 or 10 or 15 people. You've got to make sure that you include enough representation from your clients, meaning grandparents who have no grandchildren in school, parents who have children in school, single folks who have no children in school. You need a cross-section of all of those demographics and then a right number of people answering within those demographics to have confidence that this is what the community or this group in the community is thinking that it wants. That's what the relationship with a marketing or a research group like a Plattsburgh State could provide, or Clinton for that matter. So that's how the answer. The website wouldn't get us that. We couldn't control the sampling. We couldn't control it's the same person writing 10 times.
Okay, so how quickly do you think we could turn it around?
I don't know. I haven't started yet. I can't. I've done this in other districts before, and it's not a terribly lengthy process if they're prepared to take it on. And so, yeah, okay, we can do it. We can help you with that.
The thing is, approving the budget calendar, according to this calendar, we've got February 12th, the administration, and then it answers Red's thing because February 14th is the public session. So, I mean, they're right up in the beginning of the process as this calendar goes.
These were dates from last year.
These are last year's dates.
This is just to show us what last year's timeline was. It hasn't been a...
We haven't adjusted this, any of those dates yet. That's last year's dates.
Okay. So what? We can't go by this?
No. That's the board's wishes to decide what calendar you want to do.
I see where Pauline's going, and I really agree with her in that if we have three meetings, the initial three meetings would be January 8th, we would establish the spending and fund balance, and that would be from the board talking about what they want from in terms of a proposed budget. Then the next meeting, which I would propose maybe trying to get a second one in January, since this would be a more lengthy one, would be the administration would be presenting preliminary budget forecasts and other information such as enrollment, building allocations. And then our first meeting in February 12th, that could be the public session that could give the public a chance to respond. And then we could continue that meeting. I guess that might be a regular board meeting at that point. We could just continue the regular board meeting and then come back on February 26th to really focus on the things. And then try and have again two meetings in March before we do any public presentation.
And that way the public's right in from the beginning, almost.
You have some major unknowns being all of your collective bargaining agreements are in negotiations during this same
This is the oatmeal we're talking about,
ahead.
Not a...
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Solid.
You'll be making some
plan.
Assumptions and laying that in.
But see, the important part of getting the feedback from the public is they have to be informed enough to give you valuable feedback.
That's right.
So we need to have some boilerplate of what the status and what the projection looks like.
Yep.
Here's where everything's going, and that way everybody's informed of what situation we're in, and the feedback all around is good, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm up so sorry.
I got a question for Scott. To me, if we're going to do a survey, could we do it where we put down, because there's some things we can't cut, state law. Could we put down the list of the things that could be cut legally and have the people prioritize them? So say this is like 1 to 10, however many there are, what's most important to you? And then the numbers don't matter. If you're looking at what they want, they say sports is my number one, then you know that. You know, so that when you're moving forward, I have a question about do we actually get a big enough survey? I don't want to have a survey of 500 people for an 8,000 person district. You know, I'd like to have more if I could, if people would participate. But if they give you their priorities, it kind of helps you out a lot when you're trying to do a budget. So, I mean, I don't need to know, you know, if one person has 10, there's 10 there, and they rank 1 to 10, and you see a lot of similarities between the poll, well, then it kind of helps you to start to do a budget. Because if you only have so much money, if that's what they want the most, well, that's what you look at.
One thing I want to say, Richard, you know in the past, no matter how many surveys you put out there, you only have a certain amount of people that are going to answer that. So you could want 500. You're not going to see 500.
I understand that. But at least we did it. We did ask. If people can't come back and say, nobody asked me. And that's been our problem in the past. Not that they necessarily disagree with where you went, but they weren't part of the process. And that's what I worked. You give me all your priorities, and if it's not enough information for us to take a consensus, then it's not. But
I think we've got a survey, and I don't remember what was actually on that survey, but I think we have one that we had last year. Maybe we need to take a look at that.
Yeah, it wasn't specific as in what type of educational trend you want.
Right.
I think that's part of the need for the upcoming budget is to find out as a community where do we want to go educationally.
And they don't know what we can cut.
Are you talking about the one that was done at the budget presentation?
The exit.
This is exit poll. At the bottom.
Which is based on that budget.
Yes, okay.
Yeah. You know? Because, I mean, if you poll 500 people and 300 of those homes say, I want pre-K, I don't want athletics, then that's your trick.
That's right.
I'm not saying that's what we're doing, obviously, but...
One thing I want to caution us, I don't want to get wrapped up into spending 80% of our budget discussions over 0.1% of the entire budget. That's a waste of our time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to focus on the meat of the budget and not spend hours and hours arguing about pennies that aren't going to make a difference on this budget.
Once the board settles or can settle in on parameters, you know, big boundaries, if you will, boundaries that are pretty firm, then the knowledge that the various departments have and that Mary has and that I have about how to frame the questions in the survey would come to bear so that we're not having to chase our tails for wasted energy on 100% of the people want something that's not going to be in the budget.
Right.
Once we get the boundaries to it, the kind of survey, a couple of things I'll piggyback on, the kind of survey I'm talking about is, if you're familiar with the Gallup surveys, educational issues, Kaplan has done it for years, and the board, I would request that if we go this route, the board spend time on helping frame the questions you have an interest to have an answer to. I have questions I have an interest from a budget point of view to have answered, but they may be different than yours. And what we want to do is give to a researcher the kinds of questions that we want answers to, and they'll write up the right way to word the question. And then the second part of the comment is that this kind of a survey is a telephone survey. You don't mail anything. You don't collect paperwork. They're on the phone with a certain number of randomly selected phone numbers that meet the criteria. One of the first questions you ask whoever answers the phone is, representing the Board of Education, the Beaufort Town Central School District, we're conducting a survey in preparation for the development of our budget to see if we can use your time today. I need to ask you a couple of quick questions. And one of the questions you ask is, which of these best describes your household? I am a parent, I am a grandparent, I am a whatever. The answer you get to that says, thank you for your consideration, but we've reached our numbers, and you hang up. Mm-hmm. And you just keep going until you fill those categories. Now you've got a statistical probability, strong probability, that when you analyze the responses, if 75% of those cross groups say something, it's not the 30% you need to worry about that comes in to tell you don't do this. You're answering the 70% across your community that has said we want this or we don't want this, as the case may be. That's just information for you to have. That doesn't bind you to do it. It just says here's the information.
Eric, you had done it before when I was in college.
You're familiar.
I did it in college.
Yeah, did I describe it for you?
Yeah. I had to. The only thing was is that we were told that if you get a person on, even if you reach your limit, you just keep.
You can do that. But you have to discard the data.
Answer, then you let them answer. The one you don't want to upset.
You just have to make the notation.
But then, you don't matter because you just want to make sure you hit all your minimums for your small groups. You don't care if you get an oversampling of a group. That doesn't really matter. The one thing I want to make on Ed's comment about being worried about the pennies and the 1/10 one, one of the things we have to consider is that about probably 80-85% of the budget is set.
Right.
We don't really get a choice. It's by New York regulations. We have no choice what to do. I mean, other than through negotiations and contract. I mean, it's set. And still, it may even be higher. It may be as much as 90-95%. So we're ultimately having to come down to talking about those, because the other ones are set. We don't have a choice whether I want, as an example, we want a principal. Well, we don't have a choice whether we want it or not. Do we want a super? Well, we have no choice. We have to. So it's, and those are the type of things where, and those are the big ticket items. So unfortunately, we do end up having to talk about that little last 5-10% because that's the only place we have to save.
I'll be as quick as I can. I know we believe it. As quick as I can. I don't know how much of this you can give us, but when we're talking about what you're both talking about now is, not only do we need to see the items, we need to see the cost. Because not only is it how much money it costs, but like saying, you're looking at pre-K for 80 kids, and how much, if it costs me 20 grand, do I want to kill it? Is it worth 20 grand to keep Richard, that?
Can I stop you there and ask Mary? Mary, can you give us some figures?
Rough.
We did a little bit of prepping ahead of time, so Mary's ready.
To start out with, I did, as the board requested at the last meeting, kind of a five-year long-term financial budget forecast, and selected just the as Ed refers to, the big ticket items. So I pulled out and made assumptions on wages, made assumptions on TRS and ERS. My assumption for next year is pretty good because the state has already released what the rates will be. But then for years after that, I was very conservative, assuming a 2 or 3% increase, which is much less than what we've actually experienced. So I have that five-year projection. But before I go there, if I can just speak to this current year, 12-13, my assumption for the five-year projection assumes that we end this year at zero, no excess, no deficit. We budget our expenditures based upon the revenue stream coming in. So that was my starting point. Having said that, last week the state just released state aid output reports. And I know I have a lot of questions a lot of times from the board on how much aid do we get per student. This is like a 120-page report with 26 different formulas. That are like 8 to 10 pages long, each formula. That's the state aid. The forecast, when we build our revenue budget, we take the forecast that both the governor and the governor in January and the legislature in April, releases on what our aid projections are based upon our reported and recorded past audits. We just got that data in October, so they've updated the reports because our aid many times is based upon student attendance, student enrollment numbers, wealth within a district, AGI within a district, free and reduced lunch numbers, census numbers within a district. Some aid numbers are actually based upon reimbursements of what you spend for a dollar, for example, within transportation aid and BOCES aid. So having given that, to cut, you know, make this long-winded story short, our aid that was projected for this year, 12-13, and what the actual is, based upon our real numbers that have now been tabulated, is 244,000 shy of where we thought our revenue was going to be. So looking at our budget for this year, saying it's going to be a zero, I'm cautiously optimistic that we will manage that at a zero. Having considered all of our discussions tonight about additional requests for clerk or nurse subs or increasing rates, et cetera, knowing that there are some funds out there because we did think there might be enrollment increases because of things happening in the community, like possibly a Laurentian. We were conservative. Mr. Amo built in some placeholders for that. That's what would now be available to you, but also recognize your revenue's coming in less, so that's also a use of those available funds. So we're running very, very tight. For anyone to sit here and think that we've got some large excesses sitting in here, that's really not an accurate picture. Having said that, that's where it looks of where we are so far in 12-13. Having closed out the audit for last year, several of these administrators sitting at this table enforced reductions within their own budgets last year ahead of the budget this year. So they scaled back on extra events. They scaled back on field trips. They scaled back on BOCES services and activities. They scaled back on conferences, and we were able to end the year with $1 million that we were able to save into fund balance, expenditures that we didn't expend that we planned on expending, which means where we budgeted for 13, 14, or thought we would have no fund balance available, to start out my five-year long-term plan, we've got $1,065,000 available fund balance to apply in some rhyme or reason. I've made the assumption that we're going to spend the whole thing in 13-14. I'm not going to take $1 million and spread it out, $200,000 over 5 years. We're taking it. We're going to throw it at this problem for next year. I've also taken what my state aid is, my new output report. That's what my projection is for next year. I'm assuming it's flat. I'm assuming my attendance is going to be consistent with what we've experienced in the past, and that my enrollment is going to be consistent, although our trend has been declining enrollment. So I'm being a little bit aggressive on my revenue assumptions. I'm being very conservative on my expenditure assumptions. I've only pulled out the big ticket items, wages, retirement, because that's mandated. I don't have a choice. Health insurance, I'm assuming a 5% premium increase. The average, whether you decide plan A or plan B, you need to negotiate that with all of your groups. So that's not really an assumption for my budget. But what is the average increase between both of those plans is 5%. So that's what I built in. And again, I'm only assuming that the current people on health insurance are the continuing people. So open enrollment periods where people drop or people come on, that I have not built, I have no basis to make an assumption on that yet. I'd have to study it. Based upon that, for 13-14, the first year, we would have revenue resources, including the $1,065,000, of $35.9 million. And our expenditures, rolling over the current year budget exactly as it is and making the increases, minimum increases projected for wages, mandated increases, TRS, ERS, 5% health insurance premium increase. Our expenditures would be $37.9 million, resulting in a $2 million deficit projected, again, big picture, for next year, 13-14. Rolling that over, I'm taking those expenditures, I'm starting again at the top, that's my rollover budget, I'm adding in the anticipated ERS increase, TRS, the retirement increases, the health insurance increases, and minimum wage increases, minimum by law. We'd have a $3.2 million deficit. This is not cumulative, this is each year. In 15-16, at the same time, I'm building in the increases by state law that we are allowed to have for revenue. Understand that your tax levy cap gives you 2% plus and minus, you know, the formula we go through for that. But also your state aid, that the state has built in caps on the increase in that, which is limited to the increase in the change in personal income through the state for the year. So I've assumed the 2% across the board, which is what's allowed by state law, is we're going to get the full 2%. If it actually decreases, that throws my assumptions off. So I'm trying to give you a good picture, ballpark. So we were at year 3, 15-16. I've got a $3.5 million deficit. Year 4, $3.6 million deficit. Year 5, $3.8 million deficit. Again, I've kept everything. The same employees we have here this year, we have here for those next 5 years. I have not caught anybody. I have not made any of those assumptions. Just basic minimum wage increases. Not minimum wage as in New York State or federal, but based upon law, what we would have to abide by. The retirement increases and the health insurance premium. So that gives you a big picture of what we're dealing with, what we're looking at.
We've cut over 20% of our staff and we're still that bad.
Can you give us... I know you had a 3.2 million, 3.5, 3.6, 3.8. Did you assume that we only brought in 35.9 revenue for each of those 4 years?
No, that increased each of those years. I had increases.
Okay.
That was just the numbers I threw out were the overall net deficits.
Right. Could you send us a copy of that at some point?
Sure.
Okay.
Great.
Depressing.
The key takeaway point out of this for the board for tonight, and as far as the task at setting this budget calendar and giving us parameters, knowing that a five-year outlook looks like, one parameter you can say or give back is your desire for fund balance. I threw out the $1,065,000. Tonight we already spent 18 grand of that on the tax certiorates that we have, the lawsuits on the taxes that we pulled out of fund balance tonight. So remember that these numbers are not written in stone. They're fluid. They change regularly. It's just to give you a flavor for where we are in big picture. But the board can decide, yes, Mr. Amo, we want you to apply any excess fund balance you have to the 13-14 budget, or no, we don't want you to. We want you to spread it out over 3 years or 2 years or 5 years, however. Or I'm going to throw this out there, too. I've asked the board last May and last June to consider giving more money to reserves because our reserves are underfunded. The employee benefit reserve, that $3 million liability, and we've only got $1.6 million out there to pay when people announce their retirements to make those payouts, which are required.
And that might be a lot better to do. This fund balance thing over the years has killed us.
We got zero line it.
We're in all this trouble right now because we've had $9 million of fund balance and we keep throwing it at the budget. And we keep throwing it at the budget and we keep throwing it at the budget. And these are recurring costs. And fund balance is not recurring. This has been a 10-year thing since I've been on the board, digging ourselves a hole, and we're not going to get out of it. We need to stop, my opinion, we need to stop throwing, I don't care if we have 10 cents of fund balance, it should not go toward the budget. We've got to start living with what we have at some point.
We have to get to
it. We've got to live on what our revenue is at some point in time.
We have to, because every year we're low because we don't have the fund balance, because we used it to lower the rate for so long that, heck, it's so bad now, even if you gave people, employees, a minimal raise, you can't get it under the budget cap. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Okay.
I just wanted to comment on getting back to the target of getting a budget calendar set.
That's all I was commenting. Yeah. Ed brought up a point. The second meeting, strictly budget.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what we're sticking
yes.
with?
Yeah.
No other items being brought up.
Unless emergency,
the way through the rest of the year. Is that populate the second week meeting all the way through this calendar is budget.
Except emergent things, CSE coming through.
Yeah. But we would handle it. Joanne would know how to then advertise that next special meeting. That's my
point. Right.
Yes, sir.
Starting in January until the end of April. Because the board has dropped the budget.
The only thing I would recommend is if there are some of these smaller discussion points, maybe we should be trying to have them occur in our regular Board of Education meeting, such as this establish the spending and funding fund balance guidelines. I don't know how extensive that discussion is, but because if we ultimately only discuss the budget once a month, then that becomes problematic from a timing perspective.
I didn't say we wouldn't discuss the budget during board meetings.
Right.
I just want the special meeting to be specific to
totally
this.
Okay, I'm good with that.
I would be populating my updates to you anyway, meeting to meeting to meeting. Some of it may be a carryover from the budget discussion meeting of the week earlier in preparation for the next board meeting, and sometimes it'll be the board meeting coming up to prepare you for the budget meeting. But we'll be, as Mary's pointed out very, very well, and I'll use a little bit more descriptive detail. We're talking about right now oatmeal type of scenario. We've got all these moving pieces that are in the bowl, and what we're trying to do is bring some shape and contour to it all. Getting input from individuals on how to get the shape to be the way they want it, that's the survey piece of it. Getting the board to say, well, here's the size of the bowl, and this is all that's going to be in it in terms of amount, that's your part. Then our developing the stuff that goes in it is our part. If we're all then lined up with, you know, that direction, then it comes down to preferences that we can't make or recommendations for preferences that we have included in the budget. And that's when ultimately a decision is made. Is this budget to be defended or supported or not?
So they're going to take care of the budget calendar and bring.
Will the time still be at 6:15?
Okay, the next thing, we're way late on this, but I really think the next two bullet items probably could end up on the same date. Superintendent's evaluation and our board housekeeping session. What is the feeling of the board?
I think we can have them the same date, but the only way we can is if board members actually take the evaluation instrument and actually write on it and put down their ideas prior. The problem in the past, everybody comes here with a blank one that takes us forever. If we're going to do it the same night, we need to do our homework before.
What's the objective of the housekeeping session?
I have had some board members ask me for a housekeeping session just to talk some things.
Okay, I'm trying to clarify. So they're not necessarily related to superintendent evaluation.
Oh, no. So the superintendent would be probably at our housekeeping if you want it to be. Forrest for his evaluation, we go to executive session. And
I mean, there's no reason why we can't do housekeeping more often, if needed, in smaller chunks.
Yes, you can.
Gets rid of the dust bunnies.
Yeah.
And part of it is we don't have to spend 3-4 hours in that one night of the super. We can start and have a short session and then go into that.
Yeah, the other part about it, too, is it's good that if there's things that slip through the crack, if you look back through your board minutes, there are things you brought up, then you're saying, oh, my God, we never finished that. That's the time to bring all that.
That's why I bring it up. But I don't want it to be exclusive with a superintendent session to be. And we can, I say we start scheduling housekeeping sessions more often and not make it dependent on the superintendent.
Okay, tell me a date.
Well, how late are we in the superintendent evaluation?
Way late.
We are way late.
I know. I'm asking that, so we need to do that as soon as possible.
It should be done as soon as possible.
January?
July.
Yeah.
January. I mean,
December is
coming on Christmas.
The next board meeting.
Yeah, December is shot.
And then the next one will be July. Is that when you want to do it, the next board meeting?
We've got to get it over with.
Our board meetings, you see what time it is. You want to start your superintendent's evaluation at this time of night?
I have no problem.
You can't do that. You got to have
it's got to be a separate session. Now with the one meeting.
Can I go?
No, but that's what I'm saying, though. You could do it if you actually went through and to yourself answered every question, and it's down as you can discuss every one, but what happens every other time? People come in, they didn't fill it out, and you start from scratch. You can't do them both together if you don't.
You're not going to get it end of January at this point.
This on the same night?
No, that's my point. Not necessarily not putting.
You could if you do it like 4:30 on, like we're doing our committee meetings. You come in earlier and do the superintendent, or do the housekeeping early, and do the other one later, or either one. You can still do it. We do audit committee and operations committee at 4:30. Then we go to a board meeting.
Sometimes we start audit committee at 2:30.
Well, we're not doing that.
Yeah.
Some of us got to work for a living.
So we have 4 months after the audit to catch up on.
My opinion is if the superintendent's in agreement, you waive his evaluation for this year. You're 4 months, 5 months late right now.
Woohoo! Sorry, look at the look on his face.
You're 5 months late right now, and you're not looking at a good time till the end of January, and you're right into budget time.
What's your feeling, Eddie?
Oh, my.
And you got to remember, this is for last year.
Yeah.
So you've got three board members that really aren't even going to participate in last year's evaluation. Well, I mean...
Yeah.
Because you can't say anything past that date.
Right. So, I mean, it's not really... I mean, it's not like they're not welcome. We're welcome. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that the information that will be discussed is last year's information, not this year's.
And goal setting for this year.
Yeah. Doesn't even include goal setting for this year.
Ed, what's your feeling on it?
I think we should meet before the board meeting on the next next event.
For an evaluation.
Mm-hmm.
Kathy?
Yes. I'd like to meet at 4 o'clock or something like that.
Works for me. Do we have audit committee on that day?
I think we should get together even if it's to agree that we don't want to do it. Let's meet and discuss it and see.
Hey, April?
Yes. Before the board meeting on April.
Eric?
I have a totally separate, I'm fine with meeting January 8th. My only question is, I don't even know what the process is. So, for example, I know the form was sent to us, and I'm wondering, is that a form that we crafted, or is it a form that we've been using? I didn't see things like a place for assessing previous year's goals and creating new goals, or is that something separate of this form? Just trying to understand the process.
The first one is because we agreed to it with this contract to use that one. The one that we're using. That was an agreement that we can't change unless it's for future. That's what we agreed to do.
You negotiated that.
Yeah, it was a negotiation piece that would be the instrument.
This particular form.
Yes.
Okay.
Pauline,
before the board meeting is fine.
Okay. Yes, it's before the board meeting. Yes.
Okay, your board meeting would start earlier.
Yeah.
You would call your meeting to order. The motion would be to go into executive session. So yeah. That's what would happen. The board meeting continues on. It's not a separate meeting. It's no. Continuous with the board meeting, and the board meeting just starts earlier.
So what time we start? 5, 4:30?
4:30.
4:30.
What time do you anticipate starting the regular meeting?
6:15, I would imagine, same as we always do.
Okay.
So. Bring some trail mix.
That's when I'll be here. Sandwiches. I'm serious. I'm not lying. That's when I will be here.
Housekeeping, is that also an executive or is that open?
That's
not executive, but it's not open.
Yes.
So how do you?
You just meet and have a discussion.
And it's not about.
I think there was someone that beat him, but I want to
know.
Yeah, I was bored with us.
Okay.
Yes. It's about board. I don't need board members.
Okay, just
board.
For clarification.
Right.
Board. The board meets at 4:30, you go in executive session. When you come out, the board meeting continues. So if you're out at, I'll say 5:30, that's when the board meeting
yes.
Keeps continuing.
Yes, it would.
Oh, I don't think they would.
But I don't think we'll have to worry about it. We'll have to probably.
Yeah. You're right.
I mean, I'm just saying that.
Yeah.
I don't
know. Three or five times.
Yes.
Okay.
Because
yeah. We will advertise the board meeting will start at 4:30 with an anticipated executive session.
I mean, people can come at any time they like,
but they have to. They can't come in.
Okay.
No, you can say you anticipate.
That's my second legislative time after audit.
You can put that in the paper.
Right.
Retreat.
If we got done early, we could always make a motion to take a break for a little
bit. You can do that if you want.
Maybe we can get pizzas.
Okay.
So so both of those things will be accomplished that day?
Well,
we
hope.
You're going to try to do the board? You're going to try to do the board thing?
I doubt if we'll ever get board housekeeping on
that.
Okay.
But we'll talk about it at that time to whenever we can schedule it. We'll just leave that open.
If your January meeting gets done early, you could go into housekeeping right after that.
Okay. I do believe you have another item to bring before the board on the additional items.
Well, I kind of hit on it earlier about the task force.
The what?
About, yeah, about maybe, and I know it's a rough time to try to add anything else to our plate. So, you know, I'm not saying that we have to do this next month or whatever, but at the same time, I guess I'd like more information, and maybe, Mr. Amo, you can help with this. You've talked about how we're seeing this higher degree of disciplinary issues, and if you could give us some kind of an indication of what kind of uptick we're seeing, and you know, I think we have to discuss this because you know if it is a supervisory issue, then that has to be explored.
Yeah. First of all, yes. The data folio. Process that we went through, I took you through as a board, in establishing the board goals, contained our year information about our referrals, infractions, beta report items. You might recall a couple of slides that spoke to that. So that could be the good benchmark or a good starting point, if you will, to say here's how last year closed out, and then we could try to provide a current status of where we are. With those same, where are we with our discipline issues and the types of discipline issues? My hope, if you will, is that it be a sustained enough conversation involving other district personnel who have inputs that are much more specific because they live the stories every day. Mm-hmm. I get the details when they reach my table. But they have. I value the input they could provide to better explain their own perceptions of examples like A and B and C and D, and how frequently are these occurring when we didn't see them occurring so much in the past. All of that is to simply make known the status of our discipline policies and procedures, and if we're being successful with it. And then it's searching for solutions, one of which could be more supervision. But I don't think there's, talking to the administrators and the supervisors, I don't think that there's, we're not certainly in a celebratory mood that, boy, everybody's doing just what they should be doing, as they always have been doing. We have the issues to be concerned about.
Could this be because we started the PBIS tracking, better tracking of these through PBIS? Could that be one of the reasons why we're seeing more?
I won't discount any reason at this point. I think it's the kind of piece to ask. Is it no better or worse? It's just that it's like this, you know, that you got a speed trap set up more often at the intersections. Are there more speeders? Are you just catching all the speeders now that you didn't see before? That's a fair question. I don't know. I wouldn't think that's going to be a significant cause. I think it may be a contributing cause, but I don't think it's a significant cause. Not when we deal with the stories and the real life events of the discipline issues that we confront ourselves with some of our students. They're not made up. They're true. This is what happened. And when we get into those kinds of conversations, you can begin to decide, wow, what can we do to help our young people make better choices? And PBIS is a strategy to try to enhance that, but it's not a screening tool to say, you know, more kids aren't behaving. It's more the incentive tool as opposed to a screening tool.
Could it be the same problem we had before when we went to these bullying and they changed classifications, where before you put it here, now you have to put it here, and now it's a more severe infraction and it counts more?
These are all great questions. This is what I would want to have a conversation about. Look at the reports, and then these are good questions to say, do we have an insight into it?
I guess that's what I'm requesting. Can we get some administrative feedback to tell us, you know, where we're seeing an uptick in these issues and what they think might be contributing factors to that.
That's how I would approach it.
And solutions.
And potential solutions.
Is that expected to have any board involvement? Do you want any board involvement, as in a board member, to be in on those sort of discussions, or would you rather have it you work on your own and then send us a summary report or a report?
Well, great questions. Not to invent more committees, et cetera. There was a suggestion that it might have some board involvement. I'm not adverse to that. The work to be done, if you will, between now and whenever that is shared with you, is asking the very people who run the buildings, tell me the story.
Right.
And let's get the data together on what there is a story. Quite frankly, I mean, I'm espousing something here that you might very well be later saying, Chicken Little, what's the big deal? I feel obligated to tell you that that's not the feeling I'm experiencing, and I don't think it's the observation that the administrators would say. So let's pull data together and then decide if you'd like, after seeing the data, do you want to do something with a subcommittee about the picture that we painted?
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Real quick, I just want to respond to some of the letters I got from the staff before the policy call. Gary, nice job with the GX520s. Hope you haven't approved for that. Roxy, the calorie limit component you reported, so they just go back on that?
They went back on the grains and the meats. Right. We just got our memo yesterday.
Is that good or bad? I mean,
not the grains.
It's bad.
No, it's just very difficult. We've been educating,
right,
promoting for 3-4 months now, and we just got slapped right back, and I'm having a hard time dealing with it. The fruits and the vegetables are the same. They still have to take a half a cup of one or other. There's no maximum on the meats or the grains anymore, but we do need to maintain the calorie levels. The calorie level for a high school student is 750 to 850 calories for one meal, one lunch.
Yeah.
That's a high level. It's just a hard pill for me to swallow right now.
Right.
That's one of my concerns for the committee.
Yeah.
Because I've heard that they used to get 6 from nuggets, now they get 3, and the kids get home, they're starving and there's not enough. We can have more calories if you want, could we not? Could the board say, I don't want 3 McNuggets, I want 6?
No.
Can't?
No, these are regulations through the school lunch program.
Well, then the kids are going to bring their own lunches is what's going to happen.
Well, that's about also educating the population on, you know, proper.
I mean, the kids are eating it. The kids are starving.
All right. Go ahead.
They're not getting 3 nuggets.
I also heard.
I know this has been a long meeting, but they're getting more than 3 nuggets.
I have to go in and eat one of these meals.
Yes, come on in.
The bus report, You mentioned that they did an inspection on the 28th,
yeah.
And they're coming back on the 19th.
DOT?
Yeah.
Yeah, they usually come about every 2 weeks.
Anything interesting come out of that fantastic meeting?
With DOT?
Yeah.
No, well, they come to inspect our buses.
Right. Okay. So.
And actually, I got a report maybe a couple weeks ago that our DOT rating was 99 for the year.
Good job.
So, which is very high level for the district.
And the last one was, I know Dan's not here, but is did some updates on some the outlets.
Yes, we're lacking some extra electrical outlets to plug the buses in for the winter time.
What did we do before?
We didn't.
We seem to have more buses parked there now.
Some people parked at home and plugged them in at home.
More right. All right. Thanks.
All right. Going on to public comment. Anybody for public comment?
I'd like to commend the board and Mary for attempting to set out a 5-year time horizon for the financial situation. I know it's not exact. I know it's an estimate. I know it's based on a lot of assumptions, but it at least points a direction that we're heading and gives us a realistic look at what we're facing. And I appreciate that.
Good evening. Rob Simpson, one of the new fitness center coordinators. I just want to say I'm told I can be long-winded, and it's a relative term when I come here to these meetings. So, a couple ideas and comments. First of all, I'll start with one that's personal. I'm a nurse, and I work at BOCES, and I know what it's like to maybe be a sub. And when they said out there they're offering me $90 a day, there's no way that works for me. But looking at this area and what we have to do to supply nurses, you probably want to look at maybe a shared pool of nurses that you can do with Peru. And if you have a scheduled day off for a medical appointment, you might pull from that on a skip. It wouldn't cover, let's say, your emergency coverage type some call-in, but you might be able to share some of those resources based on this geographic population. One other possibility is many places, including my own at Department of Corrections, is using agency nursing. It's a higher price per hour, per visit, per time, but you're not paying your overhead. You just simply make a phone call, you say, I got a hole to fill, you call the agency and you fill it. And it can be filled by an LPN, an RN, whatever you decide. Usually that's set up with a contract. So anyway, just wanted to throw that out there for some nursing ideas. Let's see. As far as, I wanted to thank everybody for all of your efforts on the fitness center. We've been open for just a little bit over 2 weeks now. Our attendance is between 6 and 10. We've got people there utilizing it. We're going to try to promote it more and more. It's going well. It's a good program, and I want to thank you all for your support for it. So with that in mind, I use Debbie. She's our liaison, and so if I invite any comments, criticisms, we're going to be an open policy, open book. If there's anything on the table that you hear that's good, bad, negative, whatever, we want to hear about it so we can fix it, correct it up front, or answer it. So I want to make sure that you guys know we're here for that as well. Okay, and then finally, your survey. Perhaps you want to throw your survey onto your website as well. Instead of the phone calls and so forth, you might be able to get some people that way on using online. So, the website. Thank you.
Yes. When you were talking about the positions for like the clerk that you wanted for the nurse's office and the hall monitor, what if you thought about thinking a little bit outside the box and created what they call light duty positions, where you have employees who can come to work, but they can't come to work to fill the positions that they're hired for. You don't have an extra cost because you already have to pay that teacher to stay home or whatever position that person has, and you've got to pay the substitute. But if you created a light duty position, that person wouldn't burn their their sick time. The unions would more likely go along with it. I know when I worked with Council 82 for corrections, they were more than happy to go along with a light duty position. And we're talking about injuries like a person gets a wrist injury or a little knee injury, and you can't use them in the capacity what you would normally use them for. Then you would create those two positions as a light duty position. They would come to work, fill those positions until they are cleared to go back to their regular position. That would be a constant. Constantly, I have people that are injured. You constantly have people that are out sick, but they would maybe come to work to fill those light duty positions. And that's one way maybe you can handle it with a higher.
Any other comments?
Diane Porta, I would just like to say that I appreciate the comments that were made tonight about trying to involve the public in hearing things about the budget process before it actually begins. I think that would be a great help and might alleviate, as Greg was saying, some instances where by the time people hear about the budget, it's already pretty much been set in stone, so then when they come to the meetings, they are upset because they didn't have anything to do with it, so to do that. And with that in mind, again, with the survey, what you were mentioning, and with Mr. Amo, when you mentioned about doing the phone call survey, I understand what you were saying about statistics and getting, you know, a certain amount of the population, but I would just caution you to think about the person that gets on the phone and they say, okay, so you're a parent, grandparent, what? Okay, we don't need your opinion. I mean, I realize it wouldn't be worded that way.
Right.
But I caution you to think about how people in the community might actually perceive that, especially with what has happened with the budget for the past couple of years. But again, thank you, though, for considering that of getting all the public interest before where you're working on it. That's appreciated.
Okay, thank you, everybody, for the comments. And before we close, I'd like to, again, from the board, thank Elaine Dixon for coming on board with us. And I'm sure we'll get to meet you many times. So, if there isn't anything else?
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn. Need a second?
Second. Third. Third, if we need it.
All in favor?
Aye.